Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 73 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinson, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. It's the end of the summer, and it's damn time we wrap up what has happened so far. We've got Umar, we've got Sean, we've got Brent, and we've got Ian, all here to tell you what we loved and what we didn't about 2008 up until the end of September. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 73 of Comic Timing. Well, we're back here with the recording after a little bit of a break, and here we go with a nice whopper of an episode, the follow-up to last year's After Summer special. We're going to have a little bit of a best of here, go through our favorites and our not-so-favorites of the year up until now. And we're also going to be talking a little bit of San Diego Comic-Con with a guy who was actually there. So I'll introduce first the co-host, not co-host, co-host, who is back in his swanky dorm room with his fast-ass internet. It is Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
Back for the last time.
Aww. Are you feeling sad and nostalgic already?
No.
Okay. All right. You'll save that until, like, the last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to play, like, sad, depressing music in the background, man, on that last episode you do from the dorm.
Nah.
You're going to miss it. You're totally going to miss it, man. I know
Maybe.
It.
Maybe.
I know it. All right. Well, we're also joined here by the guy who was at San Diego, who I guess probably ended up, well, yeah, this year went to probably more cons than I went to. Sean Cummings back yet again. Codename Power representing. What's going on, man?
Not much. Not much.
Same
weather
old
in San Diego is heavenly.
Oh, dude. I was missing it so much, man. It's like there's no such thing as humidity in San Diego.
No, there's not. Oh, my God. It was like 90 degrees, and I wasn't sweating. It was amazing.
Man, seriously, I could just, like, I can live, like, I'm retiring to San Diego. Fuck retiring to Florida. I know I'm Jewish, but I'm retiring to San Diego.
Fuck retiring. I'm going there soon. Like, I'm going to work there. Live there. Do stuff there.
Well, you have to learn how to say the word lemon pledge in a Spanish accent.
What are you talking about? Wildstorm's based out of San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. All right. All right.
There are rumors that Wildstorm uses a lot of lemon pledge.
And the man who just talked about some lemon pledge himself is Umar from the Fixer's Hideout. You know him as the Fixer on the forums. What's going on, man? Long time no speak.
Hey, I was just ordering pizza. Who are these guys? What's up, guys? How's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad, man. yet again, we're in two separate studios, even though we live in the same borough. What the fuck is up with us?
I don't know.
We're going to have to
And I'm telling
this.
You right now that the affirmative action people called me and said I got to get some white people on my show. So come on. I need one. Anyone want to volunteer?
Well, like I said, man.
It's a quarter thing, you know.
Once the baseball season's over, man, I'll be over there because my Sundays will definitely be free. I'd love to hang out with you guys.
Bring it on. We take all comers. That's what the Hideout's all about.
Yay.
All members of the Fan Nation are welcome, especially the cool ones.
Okay, good. I'll take that as you saying me I'm cool. So, you know, that's the first time in my life. So, yay. I'm special. All right. Well, before we start the episode, first off, I got to have a little bit of a lament here. I believe there was a death in the family recently, so I got to touch on that here a little bit. The phrase "my parents are dead" has been retired by Raph. If you've been following our forums recently on the Comic Timing forums, he posted this long thread. I believe he was actually choking up while he was writing it. I mean, it felt like it was very heartfelt. But he says that after the episode that we did, episode 48, where we did nothing but, excuse me, 58 or 68, 68, where we're saying nothing but my parents are dead, he says he's going to retire the phrase. Now, first off, I want to ask the people on the call here whether or not we believe a word he's saying. So, first off, the guy who's heard it more than anybody else on the call other than me, Brent, do you actually believe he's going to stick by this?
Fuck no.
How many episodes do you give him until he says it?
5.
Wow. You're being generous, dude. You're being really generous. I give him 2.5.
Yeah.
If he's lucky. Umar, you sat through all of that episode 68. Were you able to get the words "my parents are dead" out of your head for the next day and a half after that?
Well, you know, every podcast has its thing. And my parents did, like I said, I thought it was a drinking game. So, you know, I followed along. Then I found out, oh, it was a counting contest. Didn't please my boss at all, you know, with the big bottle of whiskey right next to me while I was trying to type my notes. But still. So I was a little confused as to where it was going. As to his promise, you know, his post that he says he's gonna, not going to use it, I take the man in his word because I believe everybody. You know, like Joe Quesada was sincere about Brand New Day, and I believe everybody. Grant Morrison does know what he's doing on Final Crisis. I just buy it.
I hate Grant Morrison so much.
We'll definitely be getting into that on this show, man. But Sean, you sort of adopted the phrase for, like, you're like the Orlando edition of My Parents Are Dead. But what do you think? Do you think that if you ever see Raph again, because sadly he will not be at MegaCon. He made that clear that he actually has to save money, so he won't be at it this year. Doesn't mean we're not going, but Raph isn't going to be able to make it. But the next time you see him, do you expect to hear the My Parents Are Dead phrase pass his lips?
If he doesn't say it, I'm going to say it until he does. I mean, there's just, I mean, like, it's so funny. How could you not?
Words parents to live are dead. By. Words to live by, man. My parents are dead. And this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. October brings a brand new set of specials over at Heroes Corner, and here is the dealy. While they're representing the indies this month, as a close personal friend of mine, as I very much would like to call him, Sean Pryor of PKD Media, is getting the much-needed love and attention this month. His book is 35% off of the usual $2.99. It's 48 pages of Mercury and the Murd, the collected edition. That's the first four issues of Mercury and the Murd, all in one smooth 48-page package for $2.59. That's 35% off. Now, the big deal about this one is not only are you going to be getting Mercury and the Murd for 35% off, but you're also going to be getting a free sketch by Katie Cook, a free print of a Mercury and the Murd sketch by Katie Cook, and Dark Reign, New Nation from Marvel Comics, the beginning of the brand new Dark Reign saga from Marvel for absolutely free, and that's a $3.99 value for free with your purchase of Mercury and the Murd. So that is the special this month. Definitely make sure to take advantage of that. And the Comic Timing discount code is yet again CT Rocks, so you don't have to worry about changing anything there. So if you are a first-time Heroes Corner customer and you want to take advantage of Comic Timing's special deal and get 5% off on your first order, use the promo code CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS. And the Comic Timing picks this month, Secret Invasion Dark Reign, 75% off of the regular $2.99. It's only 75 cents on Heroes Corner. Green Arrow Black Canary number 15, the first story with a brand new writer on the title. Same art, new writer. 50% off on Heroes Corner, regular $2.99, only $1.50 on Heroes Corner. And Akihabara at Deep, Volume 1. It's a wonderful manga that I'm definitely looking forward to, and it's based on the novels and the live-action TV show that aired in Japan for quite a while. That's also 50% off, regular price of $11.99, only $6 on Heroes Corner. So definitely check out Heroes Corner this month, and every month for that matter. Best damn customer service around. Check it out, heroescorner.com. Okay, all right. Let's stop with that right now. Let's get into an actual episode. We're going to start off with San Diego Comic-Con talk because we got, like I said, we got somebody on the call who actually went to San Diego. So I'm just going to post out there, anybody who's on the call wants to ask questions to Sean about San Diego, anything like that, go ahead and do so. But first, I'm just going to ask a general question. Overall impressions of San Diego Comic-Con 2008. Sean, floor is yours.
Overall impressions, I'm going to go ahead and say next year looks really promising, actually. All in all, like I went by the Marvel booth, and I'm really excited in the directions and the things that I heard tossed around there, especially with the movie franchises and how they're kind of keeping it low-key for a year and getting their act together. And then DC's got some cool stuff. I can't actually remember specifics. That was definitely much more Travis's deal there. Mm-hmm. First of all, it was my first Comic-Con, but I mean beyond that, just like it was an incredible, like it seemed like comics are finally getting their due in the larger medium spectrum. So Yeah.
Was it overwhelming at all? Because the first time I was there, I was incredibly overwhelmed.
You know, I think I got really lucky because I went to Wizard World Chicago the month before, and that is a very large convention also. Mm-hmm. And it kind of prepped me and gave me a scope of things to expect. Now, 400,000 people in a building, no, there's nothing that can prepare you for that. But that said, I wasn't overwhelmed. I was just it just made me like hyper alert. If anything. So, yeah. It could be. I could definitely see how you could definitely be overwhelmed. Fortunately, I had to stay in, like, one place most of the time. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't have to, you know, run around and get all – but that said, we did do a lot of things. So, yeah.
Did you guys have a booth? I forget.
Yes, we did.
Okay, cool. All right, excellent. And yeah. And how was foot traffic?
Foot traffic where we were was great, actually. Once we figured out what we needed to be doing, it went extremely well. That said, San Diego is kind of its own beast, and when you're small press, you have to find your niche, because if you don't, you're going to get trampled. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it took us till the last day to figure out where we needed to be,
okay,
like, and what we're doing with. But we found out. We know what we're doing now, so, yeah.
Well, that'll help you out when you're there in 2009.
Yeah, and we actually learned a lot about just, like, conventions everywhere, like how to in, you know, just the whole everything. Like, everybody that was around us, everybody we met was incredibly, incredibly helpful and nice and just good spirits all around. Everybody was excited to be there. So, like, we got advice. We got, you know, help. We got – I mean, we were helping other people. Like, Travis actually got to do a portfolio review for a dude. I mean, it was crazy. Oh, wow. So, yeah. Like, I mean, there was a bunch of stuff going on.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, Brent, you want to open up questions for Sean?
Did you guys get any attention for your book?
Yes. Yes, we did. Well, first of all, I actually got to meet the Penny Arcade guys. I'm not sure how familiar y'all are with.
Oh, I certainly
like,
am.
With Penny Arcade. Okay. So I met them. They're pretty cool. Like, I was kind of fanboyish. Like, I kind of freaked out a little bit because I'm a huge Penny Arcade fan. And, he actually read the book, and he actually sent me an email back. So, like, what's his name? Tycho, trying to remember his real name. I think it's Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he sent me an email back saying he enjoyed the book. And it was mostly just exposure to the fans. Like, we really weren't pushing it on anybody because we're kind of waiting for issue 6 and getting it in more of a graphic novel form before we kind of throw it at, like, you know, some of the smaller distributors and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Diamond, just because we want to have something like a whole something instead of just issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but all in all, we had a great fan response. We had a fantastic fan response. We got our first pieces of fan art there.
Oh, wow.
And that was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Guy didn't even buy the book, just picked up our little postcard, uh-huh, went away. 2 days later, came back with like 3 pieces of fan art.
Oh, nice.
Blew our minds. Yeah.
Oh my God, man! Jeez, well, that's
awesome. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it blew our mind. Like, seriously, blew our mind. I mean, the book did. Like financially, we're still a little rough, but like, mm-hmm, all in all, response, all that stuff, we're really starting to build a very solid fan base, and I think that's the important part.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
But I need to know one thing about your company and the comic, because the independent or the small press these days is nothing like it used to be.
No, it's not.
such a stack of them.
Right.
So I'm not sure. You know, you got to tell me which one is yours. You got to remind me.
I am – okay, we're codenamed Power. We print under the label Respark. It's our little – technically, we're Respark East. We're actually going to get all that stuff organized sometime early next year. And we're just a little book right now. We're just trying to get big. I don't know if Ian's told you anything about the book, but it, you know, there's a couple of guys doing a very mature version of the Power Rangers, as in like extremely violent.
Dead so, babies. Cool. Dead babies. That's the important thing to remember about their book, dead babies.
So, but yeah, I mean, you know, we're just out there. Like, the small press area was actually kind of funny. I have the pictures back. I just haven't put them up yet. Mm-hmm. Next to us was like this little like arts and crafts girl. Like, who did the Japanese, like, you know, furry stuffed animal type deals. And then the guy on the other side of us was like, all he did was like prints. He didn't even have a book. Like all he did was prints of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, we got caught in the middle of like, just, you know, stuff that wasn't small press. And we were like, oh, really? And like the people we wanted to sit next to did wonderful. And because their, you know, their book was great, Hard Bullied Comics. And by the way, I just read that for the first time. Great stuff. You ever get to see it at a convention or something? Like, because I don't know where to find them at, but because Travis made me read it. So
what is it about?
It's that pulp noir, but it's like set slightly in the future, and it's really good. It's just a straight up detective story, okay. And it's great. It's a black and white book. I actually read all the way through.
Whoa!
So. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This artwork is amazing. I'm looking at your MySpace page.
The comic book?
Yeah. Once I zero in on it, you got banners. Cool. Let me put one up on my site.
Okay. We have a website too. So go check out that. Both issues are up on the website so you can read them. So
codenamepower.com.
Thank you for the plug. I didn't want to do it because I felt I want to get more of the episode done before I plug me.
Well, it's okay when the host does it. That's something entirely different. So don't worry about it.
Want to get an episode done before I plug me? Thank you for that. That's our new new catchphrase.
Comic timing. I want to get an episode
before I plug me.
Yeah. My show just did episode 69, and you know how much of that crap I had to edit out? I'm in the middle of editing it out now. They found a way to put that kind of crap in every minute.
Nobody got
it.
That.
You going to stick somebody?
Ian said episode 69 is out and sexy, and everybody's like, huh? What? And sexy?
Just because the world is so inundated with internet porn, they're just, you know, all the, oh, you can't even say daisy chain. They think it's a necklace.
How do I find the issues on your site?
What?
On your site.
Yeah.
How do I find the issues?
They're under story.
Oh. I thought that was like a headline or something.
Story.
No, those are tabs.
Well, look at it this way. As we speak, I'm buying issue number one.
Yay.
Okay. Well, good luck with that because I don't think our PayPal's set up yet.
Yeah, your site, you're missing your header tags.
Give it a second. It takes a second to load. We're all sorts of like non-professional yet.
Hey. Well, that's fine because I got my codename Power number 2 on the way, right? 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 Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, you do. Oh, my God. Yes, you do. You actually do. This week, I was waiting for my paycheck. I'm sending it to you. I have one set aside. I swear to God, magic. I was doing it this week.
Sweet. Excellent. Because so, I'm looking for more Power Ranger action, man.
Oh, God. And it's so pretty. The new – like, Ian, seriously, check out the second issue online and see the new colors. She's fantastic.
I will.
And she's Asian, and she does martial arts, and she's hot.
And that helps her cause.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, yeah.
All right, well, let's get back into San Diego a little bit here before we go entirely off track. You went to you mentioned you went to the Eisners. What was that like?
Kind of. I went to go to the Eisners, and they were full.
Ooh.
It was the night that Travis and Stephanie kicked me out of the hotel room, so I figured I'd go do something, and the Eisners were that night. And so I went – I'm going upstairs and I'm going to like the hall that they're having the Eisners in. Mm-hmm. And this is where I ran into the – he's a friend of ours. He's Sheldon and I forget his last name. He's a Zuda artist, you know, the DC Online imprint.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good friend of Travis. He's known him for a couple of years. I ran into him there and a pretty cool guy. But like I tried to get in and like they were like already full. And so, like, I did not get into the Eisners, and I was severely disappointed for it because, yeah.
That's kind of amazing, actually, because when I was at the Eisners last year, there were plenty of people there, but it certainly wasn't anywhere near full. I mean,
it was full.
Yeah, either there was, increased, popularity in it this year, or maybe they just weren't letting nearly as many people in. I don't know.
I don't know because it was in one of the smaller halls. Like it wasn't in like the H, which is usually like the huge one.
Right.
It was so. Yeah. I think it was because it was
third floor. Right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Third floor. Right.
What
was it on the third floor? Okay. Yeah. Then it's probably the same place they had it when I was there.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, You mentioned a drinking game before we started here, so now I'm very, very curious.
Yeah, it's called Whiz Bang. And unfortunately, I can't tell you the rules because the whole point of the game is to learn the rules as you play.
Oh.
But when you come back down to MegaCon next year, believe me, Travis and I will definitely introduce you to that wonderful piece of whatever.
Oh, shit. I can already feel the danger brewing in my veins, man.
Okay. I'm a fairly good drinker. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, there are some times that I can't hold my own against certain people. But all in all, I can drink. I mean, I'm a pretty solid guy. You remember me. Yes. I'm pretty stout. I'm built like a dwarf. All right? This Australian fuck drunk me under the table. Like, hardcore. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those drinking games.
Oh, dear. Yeah. And see, for a guy like me, who I've never gotten any more than buzzed in my life, and I kind of like it that way. I'm
glad you said buzzed.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm glad you didn't just end it there. Because then you sound like Raph.
But... God, but yeah, you know, for a guy like me, I might just be doing a lot of watching while the rest of you get shit-faced. But you know,
Man, and just watching is hilarious.
All right, well, Umar, you got any other San Diego questions you want to pass on, Sean?
Did you get to attend any of the panels?
Yes, I did. I did attend several panels actually. Travis and I were really cool about like switching off at the booth so we could go see different things. Well, the ones I attended specifically was there was two Battlestar Galactica panels, and I fortunately got to attend both of those. Mm-hmm. I actually got to speak to Richard Hatch, who's the guy that plays Tom Zarek in the Reimagined series. Cool. He's a
talking to nerds.
Well, there might be somebody listening that doesn't know. I like to be thorough. Damn it. Oh.
For those out there who aren't geek nerds that for some reason are listening to a comic book podcast.
Occasionally my girlfriend listens.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
Occasionally. So I went to both of those. I accidentally stumbled into a panel for a TV show coming out called Kings, and it's a reimagining of the David and Goliath story set in modern times, starring Ian McShane. That show looks like it's going to be absolutely fantastic. So
what number?
I don't remember because I came in like 10 minutes after it started, but it was hosted by the guy that plays Matt Parkman from Heroes. And the reason he was hosting it was because he got to see the preview, and he's like, even if I can't be on the show, I want to do something for it.
Okay.
So he was like hosting the panel there.
That's an NBC show, which makes sense because if Matt Parkman was there, then yeah.
Good point. Yeah, it probably is an NBC show.
Okay, cool.
Got to go to, what was it, the Totally Rad Show panel, like their live one, which was pretty cool.
Oh, sweet.
Travis and I both went to the DC Universe Online, the art of the DC Universe Online panel with Jim Lee. Uh-huh. And so I was like 5 foot from Jim Lee for an hour, and that was, you know, pretty cool.
And you didn't all of a sudden bum rush the stage and start, you know, frantically hugging him?
That's Travis's deal. He's the artist. Like, I mean, like, I think Jim Lee's pretty cool. And Hush is really awesome looking, but like Travis was sitting there like drooling the entire freaking time.
Yeah, listen, great. And thanks for that.
The first time I met Jim Starling, I mean, I'm one of those people I know get flustered by stars. When I met Jim Starling, I had a skirt on. Go, Jim! Jim!
Well, I was like that when I met the Penny Arcade guys. Like, I was like, I'm dumb.
I like comic books. Video games are cool. Hug me,
yeah.
Please.
can I just like touch you? And they're just like, no, just don't. I ran into Nathan Fillion, like literally. Like,
oh, wow.
I was like coming around. Yeah. He's a handsome man, like in person. I mean, just really pretty. I'm jealous. Like, completely.
You have a man.
You should have done – you should have went to him and said, the hammer is my penis.
I couldn't think, man. It was Nathan Fillion. I would have been like, doo-doo-doo. But, yeah, it was really cool. Saw a lot of people there, like a ton of – this is funny. Stephanie, Travis's girlfriend, got a didn't get a picture with her, but ran into Olivia Munn, like, in the streets of San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
So – yeah.
Wait, San Francisco or San Diego?
San Diego.
Okay.
My apologies.
Yeah.
One of those California town things, cities.
One of those West Coast thingamabobbies where it's 3 hours before us, after us, whatever.
Yeah, oh man, did that have me messed up.
See, what you got to do, man, and I mean, this is what I did, and I don't know if it's going to work for everybody, but while you're on the plane, set yourself 3 hours behind.
See, and it doesn't work for me because I'm terrified of airplanes. I spend the vast majority of the time, like, hyperventilating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not an airplane kind of person. I grew up in Florida. I don't even like going up hills.
Oh. That should be a problem when you're flying cross country.
Yeah, I mean, so like I was, you know, all sorts of jittery and stuff, like the whole flight. And fortunately, though, I did get to sit next to the window on the way into San Diego, and that was really cool because like it sits in that little valley, and it's, you know, really picturesque.
Yeah.
So where was it? There was something else that was really cool that we saw. What was it? Brandon Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know who he is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know – like I did not know name, face, and what he had done, but I knew I had been a big fan of his from a long time. Okay. I used to read a book called Chimera back when CrossGen was still around.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Travis apparently knows Brandon Peterson. Like he's been going to so many conventions. Like they've actually like talked and they're you know, something of friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we go, you know, we show up in you know, San Diego. Brandon Peterson's sitting at the I forget which booth it is, but he's sitting next to Frank Cho.
Oh shit.
And yeah, tell me about it. So like he goes up, he introduces me to Brandon Peterson, and I was not familiar with his name enough to know his body of work. So like I pick up his art book while Travis is talking to him and flipping through him, I'm like, and it opens up to one of the pictures that I recognize from the Chimera, and I realize that this is like one of my favorite artists and I just didn't know his name. And I felt like such a dumbass. I close the book and I go, "So you're the guy that did Chimera?" He goes, "Oh my god, you're the first person to have brought that up in like 3 years."
You probably made his day with that.
Oh, I did one better. I actually went hunting around all the bins, you know, the comic bins. I found the first three issues and got them to sign them.
Oh, great. So, great. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I met one of my favorite artists, and that was really cool.
See, as a podcaster, and I'm sure Umar's experienced this also, you see names on paper so often that when you try to say them out loud, that's when you have your biggest trouble. But then when you actually see the face that goes with the name that you've been trying to, you know, not mispronounce, that's mm-hmm. when things get even more difficult. You know, because
right.
you're trying to say like, oh, wow, holy crap, you're a hell of a lot taller than your name.
Like Joe Mad's name, because have we figured out how to say it yet?
Joe Madrera, I think.
Maybe. Hey, I'm still confused on Mark Millar. Or is it Millar? What is it?
No.
Millar.
You know better than anybody. We agreed on Mylar, okay? It's Mark Mylar from now on.
That's what I said. Mylar is something you, like, cover tents with. What?
No, Mylar is what your comic book bags are made out of, and damn it, it's what Mark Mylar is. That's
right.
What I've decided.
So I'm going to let you keep calling him Mylar, and we're going to call him Miller, and you're going to sound funny.
Well, hey, even Joe Quesada calls him Millar, all right?
Really?
His boss calls him Millar.
Well, I thought we all agreed that Joe Quesada was a fucking moron anyway.
Oh, so he should be horsewhipped for that Spider-Man thing. He's had balls about other things, though. But really, Joe Quesada is an example of why fanboys should not be in charge of the comic book companies.
Fair enough.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that. And which is funny because everybody was talking about how, you know, hey, Palmiotti would be a great, you know, replacement for Dan DiDio and blah, 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 blah. And then Dan DiDio gets the extension. And then everybody's like, okay, never mind.
Huh.
Yeah. No, for a while there, internet rumors were flying that Jimmy Palmiotti, because it would have been great because Palmiotti and Quesada have been, like, collaborating for years. So have Quesada be the editor-in-chief of Marvel and Palmiotti the editor-in-chief of DC and have them, like, be like, yeah, grr, I hate your company. I hate your company. We're having lunch later, right?
I was thinking that maybe – I remember a couple of years back, or maybe it was last year, they were trying to do a crossover, but – Quesada had said some rather vapid things about DC, so DiDio took it to heart and said, you know, took one of those playground stances. I'll never let him play in my sandbox.
It was actually –
and it was cool ideas.
Yeah. The Bendis one is the one that I remember very well, that they were trying to do a Daredevil Batman
That's
crossover.
The one, yeah.
Yeah. And Bendis said a couple things that he shouldn't have, and then DC was like, no, no, just no. and that was the end of that. So what are you going to do? Maybe eventually we'll see it. But all right, let's wrap up the San Diego Comic-Con talk here. Let's roll into the main topic. But Brent, you got any other things you want to talk to Sean about a little bit about the San Diego schmoozing and all that like?
He said he didn't do any.
Yeah, he said he did some schmoozing.
I did some schmoozing.
You can't help but schmooze at a Comic-Con.
Travis did see Hideo Kojima, though. The guy in charge of what was that ooh for?
No, the ooh is because I know who you're talking about. But you can say to everybody else out there who it is.
Hideo Kojima, the creator of Metal Gear Solid.
Snake, answer me, Snake, Snake.
And by the way, he got his autographed, and I can actually say that was all me, because if it hadn't been for me, that wouldn't have ever happened.
you got him into the franchise?
No. Check this out. Okay. So I'm going to the bathroom, right? And there's this lady there standing with a bunch of strategy guys from Metal Gear Solid 4. She goes, Hideo Kojima signing upstairs right now. If you want to get something signed, go upstairs right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I grabbed one of the strategy guides. By the way, they were giving them out for free.
Okay.
Turn around. I go over to Travis. I was like, you need to be upstairs right now. And I slam the strategy guy in his chest. So he goes upstairs, and then he calls me. He goes, hey, bring do you remember we have Snake prints? Like, he did an ink wash of Solid Snake for one of our prints. He calls me. He goes, bring up all the Snake prints. So I take him up all the Snake prints. He sells like half of them in line, and then gets a bunch of them signed by Hideo Kojima.
Ooh.
Yeah. His art signed by Hideo Kojima. He's like, yes! Victory is mine.
That's a fangasm right there, man.
Yep, a little bit, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. And this is why I love San Diego. I mean, say what you will about it. You know, some people say that San Diego is, you know, like, oh, it's way too commercialized these days. Oh, there's way too many people going to it. But meetings like that, you're not going to be able to get at any other convention. So I think that there's positives and negatives to it being not just a comic convention anymore. But yet again, meetings like that would only happen in San Diego.
But I personally would like to open up a clinic for all this fanboy self-hate. Oh, my goodness. It's too commercialized. Yeah, you know, because comic books are always free. You know, I used to go to the store. The guy would give them to me at walkout. There were no prices on these things. You know, comics, I don't know. It's just, I don't understand fanboys sometimes.
Well, come on, man. They want their little nerd convention where, you know, there's 10 people going to it. And they can, you know, bitch and moan about there being a little crease in the corner, and then they can leave. They don't want something where there's, you know, 400,000 people in a room talking about movies, TVs, video games, and comic books. I mean, and to a point, you know, I love New York Comic Con because it's mostly, you know, comic books and stuff like that, but I have other interests, and San Diego caters to all those other interests as well. So what's the problem?
And if they look back to the 90s, these people weren't trying to – they're sucking up to us now. Before, they were just invading us with this crazy crap about Ambush Bug number 3 being worth $1 million in 2 years, some stupidity like that. Mm-hmm. And I knew the feeling, because you would go to the cons and they were still small, but these people who were – and you knew they really wanted nothing to do with it. I'm like, you know, back in the 90s, people were making movies like Batman going, why would I read a comic book? I mean, why would I need the source material to make a movie? Well, now, it's, what can we get? What can we get? I mean, this is beautiful. This is where we want to be. They're not invading us. They want to be part of us. And I think that's awesome.
We're going to get to the point Absolutely. Where Squirrel Girl is optioned because nothing else is left.
Yep, exactly. Isn't it beautiful?
I really...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, being there, like, I really saw it as a celebration of all of that we contribute, like, as comic book fanboys, artists, writers, the whole shenanigans mm-hmm. bring to, like, culture at large. Like, I mean, like, because everybody there may not read comics, but everybody there had a little bit of geek in them. And you know what? Comics is where all that starts. And it was fantastic, the kind of recognition you get when you're there. Like, I mean, even just the congoers, like, they're part of an elite group. You couldn't buy tickets to get in at all. Everything was sold out, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, people would stop us in the street, like, how do you get in? It's like, you can't, you know? You had to buy tickets, like, last year to get in. And it's just, like, it's just amazing. Like, the I don't know, there's just for lack of a better word, the amount of respect all over that place, you know?
And I need to put this out there to the one press person who didn't get in because there was no room to get you in. Sorry for taking your ticket. That's all I gotta say. Sorry, dude. Yeah. Because, I mean, I wasn't sure whether I was going to be going or not. So, you know, I signed up for a press pass and, you know, I renewed everything and I had it all printed out, ready to go. But then when I saw that prices, you know, San Diego flights were like $400, $500, right. $600, I'm like, yeah, you know, I think I'm going to be skipping away. But thanks. Thanks for the good times.
Oh, man. It was fantastic. It was definitely something else.
Well, you know, before we end this talk and roll on to the other one, I actually just wanted to ask Brent one question here. I mean, just rolling along with what we were saying before. I mean, Brent, do you mind when there's all these other geek things involved in your comic convention? Like, I mean, there's peanut butter in your chocolate, there's chocolate in your peanut butter, that sort of thing going on. Or do you just want a straight comic convention when it's called San Diego Comic Con?
I think it's fine because, I mean, then you don't have to go to these other any other conventions. And if they don't have those same conventions around you, then you get it all in one convention, all in one shot. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really what you're getting. I mean, for the price that you pay for San Diego Comic Con, I mean, you're not going to have to go to any other con if you're like one of those casual fans.
Like, would you want to go to a movie or a TV convention necessarily by itself?
Okay,
not after Comic Con.
Yeah, please. I mean, if Heroes Con was just about the show Heroes, I wouldn't be going to it.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah. I believe we just answered that. All right, so I guess we can...
Well, that's where we're different. I'd be like, okay, this is what you guys got to do next, all right? Don't do this again. I'd have to go to HeroCon. If it's just Heroes, all right, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Don't drag me out. I'm a fan.
Well, come on, man. They have a convention for The Office.
Wow.
Really?
Yes. Yes. There was a convention...
Where is it? I want to go.
In Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Are you kidding me?
You know what?
I kid you not. It happened for the first time this past year, and I believe they're going to have a second one this year, but it's sort of up in the air when it's going to happen because of the writer's strike. They weren't sure whether or not they'd be able to get writers out there. But yeah, last year was the first one, and there might be a second one this year.
This doesn't
surprise
me. I might
do that for vacation.
Ian, you remember they used to do the Once More With Feelings things?
Yeah.
Everyone sang along.
Yeah, it was a sing-along to the Once More With Feeling episode of Buffy. Yeah.
You know.
But then the studio shut it down, and that sucked. Yeah. Well, one day Fox decided that fans could no longer have fun, and they decided they were no longer going to support the sing-along, so now they don't have it anymore. Which sucks.
But Jesus.
What are you going to do? They are thinking about doing sing-alongs, however, for Dr. Horrible, so we might still win in one form or another fan-wise.
Dr. Horrible is amazing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, I was happy, dude. At Otakon, I saw two Dr. Horrible cosplayers, one in the red outfit.
Nice.
Yeah, so that wasn't too bad.
Oh, all right.
However, to the female who was dressed up as Captain Hammer, I'm sorry, it just doesn't work. That's all I got
to
say.
I mean, she'd have to be, like, really hot.
Yeah, no.
And I don't want to know what the hammer is.
It's his penis.
And I believe that's the best segue we could possibly have into the summer awards.
Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. Hey, Golden Age fans, this is Bill Jourdain, the host of the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. I'm here today to tell you about a project that I've been involved in that I am really excited about, and that is the Vintage DC Comics Superheroes 2009 calendar produced by Asgard Press. Now, this is no ordinary calendar. This is a large format 11x14 calendar printed on 100% recycled paper on soy-based inks, reproducing 16 classic Golden Age and Silver Age comic book covers. Now, these are really cool covers. For instance, we've got Superman number 9 reprinted here, Showcase number 4, the first appearance of The Flash, Brave and the Bold 28, the first appearance of the Justice League of America, Batman 27, one of the early Christmas covers, World's Finest 4, Green Lantern number 1, all kinds of great covers from the Silver Age and Golden Age, even some old Flash comics, Comics Cavalcade, Batman, Wonder Woman, Action Comics, etc. So if you love the Golden Age and Silver Age of comic books like I do, you really need to check out this calendar and think about purchasing it for yourself to hang there next to your comic book collection. Or if you know someone who loves the Golden Age and Silver Age of comic books, well, you can buy a copy for them. Now, if you're interested in purchasing a copy of the Vintage Superheroes calendar for 2009, you can go to the Asgard Press website. That's asgardpress.com. One word, asgardpress.com. And the great thing is, if you go to the Asgard Press website and buy the calendar there, you'll be able to get a 10% discount by entering promo code Golden Age Comics. That's one word, not case sensitive, Golden Age Comics. So go to the Asgard Press website, asgardpress.com, and check out this really cool Golden Age and Silver Age calendar, and I know you won't regret it. You'll be proud to own this wonderful calendar. Now, I'm excited about it because, of course, it showcases Golden Age and Silver Age covers, but also because I had a hand in the creation of this calendar. One of the introductory pieces in the calendar I wrote, and I was real excited to be able to do that. Also, with respect to the descriptions that are given of each of the covers in the calendar, I wrote all of those descriptions, and some of the covers actually came out of my own private collection. So check out the calendar. I know you'll enjoy it. Don't forget to go to the Asgard Press website to pick it up, asgardpress.com. Don't forget the 10% discount you'll get using promo code Golden Age Comics. And I look forward to talking to each and every one of you on my show, the Golden Age of Comic Books Podcast. See you soon.
All right, so we're gonna, like I said, it's nice, nice and informal here. Nothing like that big because we do have the end of year awards that we usually do later on by company. But right now, I'm just going to ask nice, simple questions. We'll start it off first with best ongoing from January 08 to August 08 because we're basically near the end of August 08 right now. So, what series has wowed you? And you could even give a DC, a Marvel, and an independent if you want. If not, just give one. It's up to you. But I'm going to go with Umar here first. Best ongoing of 08 so far.
I'd say the one that left the greatest impression on me was the Lunar Brothers, The Sword.
Ooh. Tell me a little bit about it, actually, because I was a big fan of Girls, but I haven't actually picked that up yet.
It's this family living with a crippled daughter. One day, these group of people come in and start demanding a sword from the father, slaughter the entire family, knock the daughter over, burn the house down. She falls through the burning floors, mm-hmm. and the sword that her father was denying he had is right under there. She picks it up. She can walk again. She can jump about 60 feet in the air. And the story is her odyssey going on a hunt for the people who murdered her father.
Oh, my God.
And they just had a battle on a Caribbean island. Unlike, you know, it's you like a good super battle. But, boy, this was amazing.
Is this in trade?
They better trade it. So far, all I've been seeing is floppies. But it has some of the best cliffhangers you could see, some of the best surprises, great story turns, and you're really invested in the characters.
Okay, I might have to be picking this up because, like I said, I was a huge fan of Girls, so anything Luna Brothers I want to pick up at one point or another. In fact, I liked Girls enough where I have the first two trades, and then I just went straight to floppies after that. So maybe I'll pick up one trade if it's out and then, you know, see if I really like it and then start picking it up. But that sounds really intriguing. You got any DC or Marvel you want to throw in there, Omar?
Well, Green Lantern has impressed me ever since they started their whole Sinestro Court War thing. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. I remember when Green Lantern Corps came out before, it was, now, oh my goodness, they just had a Mongol story that, you know, I know Mongo's a hit or miss kind of villain, but when he's on point, boy, they do some good stories with that guy.
I hear you.
And I've been enjoying the retelling of the origin, especially since I've lived literally through the fourth retellings of Green Lantern's origin.
Yeah, dear DC, I love you. I love you. But yeah, the characters had their origins already. Okay, you don't have to redo them every 10 years.
I'm kind of enjoying it because I've never read that any of those origin trades before, so I'm liking it.
See, and that's the thing. I'm liking it, too. It's just that at the same time, I think that they could be doing something different. You know, they could be doing current story while that's going on. But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things I'm very torn about.
I think if they did it as like a flashback thing while something else was going on, it would seem a little more contrived. Mm-hmm. I think probably the next issue, the last issue of it, mm-hmm. it might flash forward to the present, or, you know, where he's telling somebody,
okay.
or he's just now remembering this stuff, and now it's all coming back to him. and that might make it more enjoyable for you. I don't know.
That's possible.
I don't think I'm spoiling. I'm just giving a prediction.
Uh-huh.
While I'm not with their current event thing, I am cognizant that a lot of people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to do a story where there's going to be a ring that only can be used by dead.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're about to get one screwed up, one hellified. I think they're about to outdo Marvel Zombies.
It's going to be big, man. It's going to be big. I mean, there have been a lot of rumors flying as to who the head of the Black Lantern Brigade is going to be, other than, you know, Bob, you know, Black Hand, which would obviously be, you know, the head. Basically, any DC hero or villain that's died over the past couple of months could very well be involved. I haven't read Last Will and Testament yet, so please, if you have read it, don't spoil it for me. But I know that there were some major deaths going on in that. Let me just get one Marvel from you for the hell of it, Umar.
A Marvel that has impressed. I have to say Thunderbolts. It's shipping date. Its shipping schedule is really infrequent. But boy, that Ellis run wasn't bad. And I can't remember off the top of my head who he was. But who picked up from Ellis is not doing a bad job either.
Cool. Excellent. All right. Well, we'll throw it over to Brent now. Just give me your favorite. And then whatever company you didn't mention yet, you can go from there.
My favorite. Batman, rest in peace, by far.
So just, it's not confusing at all?
It is confusing, but that's what I like about it. That each issue that comes out, you don't know what the hell is going to happen. You know, and to me, this is like this should be their big summer thing, not Final Crisis. Like this thing is like restructuring everything. It's knocking down everything you know. And at the same time, it's telling a great story, and I'm loving every minute of it. Like, the first issue was okay, but once that second issue hit and they started talking about his parents, what they think they've done, how his mom was a drug addict or whatever, mm-hmm. and she was abused, and maybe Bruce saw all this, and then, you know, maybe that they're still alive, and then all this other stuff, when it all came down, it was just really cool. And the third issue was, like, kind of neat, and then this fourth one that just came out was just blew my mind.
May I ask you a question?
Shoot.
Have you ever read Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol?
No.
Okay. Visibles?
Nope.
See,
I've read his JLA run, and that's about
JLA,
it.
He pulled back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In X-Men,
I read
only
X-Men.
The last part did he go a little Grant Morrison. But Doom Patrol started, and it had a really interesting twist on how he did it. He almost added the way Alan Moore changed Swamp Thing. He kind of keeping this continuity, but he jerked it to the side a little bit. Then he got Strange. Then he got Stranger. Then he got to the point where I felt like, you know, I should be in an opium den reading this. I don't understand. What the hell happened? That he cut the chief's head off and made the chief a living head. The chief is literally the head of the Doom Patrol. He also started that the gay relationship between Monsieur Mallard and Brain.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's my fun, problem with, though. That's fun, though, that gay relationship.
Yeah, that was the one issue that was fun. I like Doom Patrol, so they got progressively weird. And that's where I fear Grant's hands on these things. I think it's going to get weird. I have the feeling that Batmite's going to replace Batman, and Grant Morrison's going to make it make perfect sense.
Well, I went back and read Batman and Son and then the Murder at the Mansion storyline back to back, and that helped out. Reading those like seven issues right there, that helped out a lot. And then I went and read the ones that came after the Resurrection story of Ra's al Ghul, and then like there's like four issues there, and then I read what had came out from Rest in Peace. And it helped a lot if you read them back to back. Maybe that's why.
Maybe
I'm
I'll do that.
So much.
I got them all, so maybe I'll do that. But Rest in Peace is giving me a headache. Well, not as much as the one thing I like about Rest in Peace, as opposed to that other thing, that, you know, that small event that's going on, is that the peripheral issues make more sense than the main issues. So I'm able to absorb what's going on. The Robin, I like what's going on in the Robin.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, maybe it's my age. I just felt like, didn't we already see Gotham without Batman like again?
Yeah, that
was on a physical level. You know, they broke Batman physically, and this is kind of like the mental breakdown. What they've always thought, you know, is he like sane or is he, you know, insane but sane?
But isn't it like what was going on in 52? Yeah, I gotta go find myself.
Well, but this is tying into what was happening in 52. I mean, if you've been reading Nightwing and Robin, this breakdown basically started with that isolation that happened in 52.
See, I agree. I listened to that, and then they someone planted a suggestion in it, and I'm like, I'm sorry. To me, it's like, you know, someone shot Superman with a bullet. It just doesn't ring right. So yeah. I don't know. It's not hammering to me that I just can't find it interesting, you know, just like, these people just walk into the mansion and just start taking over shit. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah. Well, I guess sometimes you got to, like, suspend your belief a little bit with Grant Morrison's work and just sort of flow with it, you know?
Are you liking the art, at least, Tony Daniel? Well,
I didn't think Hush was that strong of a story, but the art really saved it for me. I never liked Catwoman's costume until Hush.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, the art's not saving it, especially the detective stuff. Not saving it at all.
You don't like Dustin Nguyen?
He's no, I don't dislike him. It's just that it's not – it's in this kind of event, I'm so-so on it. And the fact that, like, everything is just weird, and I'm like, I don't want my superheroes weird. I want my Vertigo weird.
But at least he can put it out a monthly. That's what I'm loving. You know, I like his style. It may not fit the book, but at least it's coming out on a monthly basis. And I think Paul Dini's been writing, like, the last 10 issues almost. There's been, like, no breaks anymore.
Yeah.
Pretty much, like, since Countdown started to end.
I actually just caught up on Detective. I was about maybe 6 issues behind, and I read, like, all of them in one shot. And it's been great. It's been really good. The Zatanna stuff that was going on.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was really cool. And Catwoman's reintroduction felt like it was real and not just forced because her title's getting canceled. So I'm very happy with the Batman universe in general. Give me your favorite Marvel, and if you have an independent, you can throw that in there, Brent.
Marvel.
You know that other company?
I know. I'm trying to think. Invincible Iron Man. Secret Invasion's been okay. The first couple issues were good, and then once I figured out we're still in the Savage Land as of issue 5, I was kind of like over it. And I think that the new Avengers issues have been a lot better than the stuff that's been in the main book.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we started the Invincible Iron Man, like, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and it just keeps getting better and better. I'm loving the writing. The art's grown on me. Not the biggest fan. I'd rather have Roberto De La Torre from director of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's over and done with.
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy the last arc on director of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the whole Mandarin and the extremist virus, like, as a plague thing. That was really cool, but it didn't get the attention it needed.
Well, see,
otherwise, I think a lot more people would have liked it.
It's funny because, you know, when am I getting on Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.? As it's becoming War Machine.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm going to read the Secret Invasion stuff with Sean Chen, but I don't know about the – because they're going to relaunch it with a new number one, I think.
They are?
They said in the last solicits, they said this is the final get this book before it's relaunched as War Machine number one.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks. I was kind of hoping that they would just keep the numbering and switch the name, considering that that's what they did with that's what they did with Iron Man in the first place when it became from Invincible Iron Man to Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know. I guess Iron Man can't have two books. I don't understand.
Well, let me get a mini rant in here, and anybody who wants can touch on this, but I'm really sick and tired of the restarts. A lot of these restarts feel like they're not really that needed. And
are you talking about Runaways?
I'm going to mention Runaways here, but I'm going to mention a couple of other books also. But yeah, Runaways, why the hell are you restarting Runaways? You know, it's just another Runaways story. It's a new arc, basically, with a new creative team. Just because the creative team changes doesn't mean you got to restart the frickin' series as, like, volume 3 or whatever the hell it is, because it's still Runaways. You know, it's the next issue of Runaways. It's not Runaways number 1. The team is not chained. So I don't understand that at all. And I mean, DC,
what they might do
is
keep it restarted, and then, like, after about 20 issues, put the numbers back. You know, first printing the
ones
original
they hit
number.
50. Yeah,
yeah.
I have to agree with you. But this has been happening since Heroes Reborn. Mm-hmm. Now, when DC did it, they had this crisis that took a multiverse continuity and crammed it into one universe. Understand the restarts. I completely get it. But when they restarted Batman, they just retold his origin in his own books and kept the numbering going. So I'm like, who do they think they're fooling?
Apparently, everybody who buys it, because people are like, ooh, number one, gotta buy.
Okay, I'll stop. But they keep doing those nice variants.
Well, I make sure to only pick up one issue of things most of the time, except for when Wrath accidentally hands me an issue of something else. And that – all right. No. It wasn't your fault, Wrath, that you handed me Secret Invasion Brand New Day. Secret Invasion as opposed to Amazing Spider-Man this week. That's perfectly fine. I fully understand it. But now I have 2 copies of that, and what am I going to do with the other one? Mini rant.
You should go complain to the manager.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a problem.
This math guy.
I have a problem with this Asian man who keeps handing me comics
for free.
All right, let me roll over to Sean here. I know that Sean is mostly a trade guy, but I know he's been reading some things in ongoing this year. So
yes, I have actually. This year, I've started to pick up way more ongoings.
Well, good. So then, hopefully, you got plenty to say. So give me some of your favorites.
Okay, I do want to touch on Invincible Iron Man, you know, just because it is being absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. But that said, it's not my favorite Marvel book this year.
Ah.
It's that definitely goes over to Thor, because Thor's fan-frickin-tastic the whole way through. I love Straczynski, he's really doing a fantastic job with that book, and I love the art. I love pretty much just everything going on in that book. Hands down, favorite book this year, ongoing this year anyway.
Well, it proves that JMS is not dead, because after Amazing Spider-Man, I was sort of weary on him, because for the first couple of issues I was enjoying it, but then after that, not really much. Then he came out with 12 and Thor, and he proved to me that he's still there. You know, even if he did get lost in Amazing Spider-Man a little bit, the JMS that I loved in the first place is still there. It's just like under the surface and doesn't come out all the time.
Right. Like, I love him because he does amazing sagas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, he really didn't get the chance to do that on Amazing Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. It's not really kind of built for that.
Yeah.
Thor, on the other hand, everything he's doing, from the human, like, all the way down to, like, the human, there's real human emotion in that book. And then you really get, like, the Asgardian aloofness and, like, everything. It's such a fantastic read. I am so happy he's writing that.
And the art has been superb.
Absolutely. Top notch all the way through. I forget what the artist's name is off the top of my head.
Coipel. Oliver Coipel.
Yeah. And just love it. Just absolutely love it.
I thought Marko Djurjevic did okay on those two fill-ins he did. That was pretty cool. Like, just the penciled stuff and not his, like, regular cover paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That was really neat.
Yeah,
I'd like to see more stuff.
What I liked about it is that there wasn't much of a style change, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I was digging about it. But you got any DCs you want to throw in, Sean?
I don't read a ton of DC. I will say this. Okay, you guys know of my hatred of Grant Morrison.
I do believe we do.
Okay, that said, I've read a couple issues of Rest in Peace, and I didn't hate them. Oh my God, right?
I'm sorry, Sean, you've been replaced by a Skrull. Please leave this cast immediately.
He loves you.
They should make that into like a Beatles tune.
He loves you?
Yeah.
That said, my favorite DC book right now is Flash.
Ew.
You're
that person. You're the one who's buying it.
All right, Umar, we're the one who's buying it, because I have been fucking loving Flash lately.
Nah.
Thank you. It feels like a classic, good old style comic book just story.
Amen.
Right now. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care what anybody says.
I read those issues you told me to read without buying them.
Yeah.
And no, thank you.
Well, then to each their own, because I'm enjoying it.
Let me correct y'all. I have been buying them. I just got the latest one because I had to see where the cliffhanger was going. Mm-hmm. And I went homeboy who got it for free.
Well, okay. Well, what is it that you don't like about it, Umar?
I just keep wishing that Wally would meet Neuron and he makes a deal with him and no more marriage. I mean, I don't know. It's just something. It's from the moment they brought him back on that Brad Meltzer Justice League that everyone praises, and that's another thing I'd like to sit down and, okay, now explain to me. You understood it. Now explain it to me. The Legion of Superheroes come back. Cosmic Boy is crazy. They sit around talking. They got to go find all these Legionnaires. They finally find them. They get together. Lightning strikes. Wally and the family are back. Okay, what the hell? Where did that come from?
Yeah, it's five issues of nothing.
What?
Could have done it in two.
Okay, see, that I will give you, because Brad Meltzer's known for that. You know, issues that should have happened in two happening in five, so I'll perfectly give you that. But with what's been going on here is I feel like Pyre's writing it right now, right? Tom Pyre, if I'm remembering correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people forget that Tom Pyre co-wrote a lot of those Flash issues that Mark Waid was writing back in the day. He was along for that Flash during that time. And I very recently read those Flash issues from Mark Waid's first run, and they were great. They were lights out. They were terrific. When I read a Tom Pyre issue of Flash, I'm sent back in time. I feel like I'm reading the voice that I'm hearing coming out of Wally's mouth is the Wally that I'm used to. And that's
now we're talking about. We're talking about the era right after Crisis when Wally West became the Flash.
Yes.
And in the first issue, he kind of like delivered a heart and demanded health care because, you know, superheroing is dangerous. Mm-hmm. I know what you say, that those are awesome issues, but this doesn't feel the same to me. It just feels labored, and I feel like stuff is being thrown in, and the whole kid thing, I was like, oh,
yeah, that's what I really don't like is the kid thing.
Right,
it's just
see, and I'm
boring and
really enjoying all of that.
Childish to me, and they're kids, I know, but I wasn't feeling the Mark Waid relaunch.
I wasn't either.
You know,
I wasn't
Daniel Acuña came on. I was kind of like, it's okay. And then Freddie Williams came on, and I loved his Robin stuff. I almost said Flash. Oh no.
Oh.
And then I just wasn't feeling him on Flash, and I read all of his issues, and I don't know. I'm still not feeling it. So I can't wait till he goes back to Robin. Maybe that's why he's going back to Robin.
He's back on Robin as of this past issue.
Okay, well, it hasn't arrived for me yet. Okay, so shut up.
Okay. All right. Whoa.
And I just have one other book that I wanted to throw out there.
Okay, well, first off, before you even do that, explain to us why you like the dynamic that's happening in Flash right now.
I don't know. I just really liked it. Like, I've always been a big Flash fan. And I liked Freddie Williams' art. I really did. And I just liked the story. I really did. Like, I love Gorilla Grodd. I always thought he was one of my favorite Flash villains and one of my favorite villains in general. Like, I always thought that he was big enough to threaten, like, the JLA if he was used correctly.
Yeah.
Just never has been. I really liked seeing I like Jay Garrick. I like the story with the kids. I just enjoyed it. And it might be one of those things that it was just me. Like, you know, Travis sure as hell didn't read it, despite the fact that I told him to.
Well,
I just enjoyed it. It really felt like, I don't know, just like a straight up comic book story.
Well, we're not the only ones, because, I mean, there are people on the boards and elsewhere that I've seen praising it, but there have been just as many people that have been saying, ew, this is the worst thing I've ever fucking read. So it's definitely one of those things that's put down the middle. And I was in Brent's camp about Freddy at first. I felt like I was going to give it a couple of issues to see whether or not it was going to get better. And I think it did get better. It got substantially better by the end. I felt that he was sort of channeling like a Scott Collins vibe with it. And that's what I was really digging. But it took him like two or three issues to really get in the groove. And with Tom Pyre writing it, again, I felt he just got Wally's voice down perfectly. So that's why I really enjoyed it. But anyway, what other book were you going to mention?
Just one other, and you're going to think this is kind of funny. Travis told me about it. I went to the bookstore today, and I picked up the graphic novel, and I read it all the way through. Mm-hmm. And I ended up really enjoying it, and I'm going to continue reading the series now because of it. And that's the World of Warcraft comic. Kind of came out of left field. Check this out. So the reason Travis picked it up in the first place is because Jim Lee was doing the covers. Okay, I can understand that. And for like the first four or five issues, it's just not that good. And the artist on the interior is, I mean, let's be honest, there are very few people that are the caliber of Jim Lee. But like all of a sudden, like I think it was like the fourth or fifth issue, like all of the just random ass stuff that was happening like came together. And it's turning out to be a pretty good book. So, like I said, came out of nowhere. Wasn't expecting it to be great, you know. I was just kind of impressed. I guess because I was expecting nothing, and I got something.
That's the best thing in comics, man. When you're not expecting anything and you go into it,
you're right. And I came in and I was like, okay. And the first three issues, yeah, I was completely right. And then like it all came together. And then all of a sudden, I'm reading a book that I'm like, oh my god. And then on top of it, like I'm playing the game at the same time. And Blizzard's really good about story. I know it seems really strange coming from somebody playing WoW, but like I really play it for the story. There's a huge story involved. And like I guess just because like I was coming up through the part of the story that had to do with the comic book at the same time, it's just like, I don't know, it just really resonated on an emotional level with me. I just kind of enjoyed it. So yeah, just came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it. Just figured I'd throw it out there. You know, because it's not often that tie-ins, you know, have anything to offer at all. So,
oh yeah,
and that one had a little bit. I mean, even if you're not a big WoW fan,
hey, well, that's good that at least you you stuck with it and it paid off for you.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, somebody had to goad me into it, but I mean, I'm glad they did now. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's my big three. So
excellent. All right. Well, I'm gonna pick three right now. Let me go DC first. I think that's the easiest one for me to mention here. And sort of a tie, but, you know, I'm just going to mention one, and I'll mention an honorable mention, I guess. But my number one DC book, no surprise to anybody, Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle has been superb this entire year. I mean, even with the change in writers and with a couple of changes in artists in the past couple of issues, the voices stayed exactly the same. The art stayed, you know, consistent enough where you barely even tell that there's a new artist involved. The end of the Reach storyline was just done so great, where you had all these JLI members showing up to help him out. You had Fire, Ice, Booster, and basically the whole team there helping him out, except for Batman, if I remember correctly. But yeah,
and they ended Reach story.
The Reach.
That was that's one of the things that drove me off the book. I got tired of that story.
Really? Okay.
Did you read the last arc where he faced him? That was amazing.
I got off the book way before that.
They are putting out the last trade, volume 4. Go get that.
Yeah,
or read it in Barnes and Noble or something. You won't regret it.
It's been really fun. But yeah, once they finished that, they had a couple of one shots. The Spanish issue, even though I don't speak Spanish, I understood it enough to really get.
I thought that was their one misstep.
Yeah, but you know what? It was a nice promotion, and it was a good way to get interest into the book. You know, because it ended up in all the papers.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. I didn't have a problem with that because I like it when they do things that get any comics noticed.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that certainly did because a lot of people just really picked up on it from there. So that's why it was good.
But with me, if you drag a story arc out too long, you're going to lose me. And I think that there should be a limit to some story arcs unless it's so damn good. Like Hush, I thought went way too long, but the art was pretty, and I'm a whore for art, so. And I was basically buying Hush. I got the trade on, and I think I got the Absolute on Pretty Art. But the story was like, yeah, okay.
Well, but yeah, no, this delivers on both, Blue Beetle. I mean, if you did give it up earlier on, I would recommend at least giving it a shot, at least picking up one of the trades that you missed and seeing whether or not it reaches you again. Because, like I said, they just end the storyline very well. There's some decent crossovers with some characters in this. And even the supporting characters get fleshed out so much in the last couple of issues that it's certainly worth it, in my opinion. So I'm going to give that there. My honorable mention is Justice Society of America because, holy crap, it's like he took everything he was doing in the regular JSA book and brought it up to the next level, Geoff Johns. And this past year has been everything I was hoping for and more with the Kingdom Come Superman and Magog and Gog involved. You've got, you know, the whole thing with Power Girl going on, and all the characters just got fleshed out. You know, the group is now like 700 people big, but I don't even really care because all the characters that are in it are fun to read and listen to. So, you know, I'm sort of hoping that there'll be some sort of spinoff book or something just so we can, you know, maybe differentiate a little bit, like maybe give them Infinity Inc., get rid of the original, get rid of the Infinity Inc. that's going on now and just give the other characters that because I think I'd rather have that than the other Infinity Inc. that's going on now. But, yeah, I've been really enjoying everything going on in JSA, so I'm definitely going to mention that.
I think that finally picked up once they started battling Magog and Gog actually finally showed up. Because up until that point, when they were just chasing him and stuff, it was kind of like snore, snore, snore for me.
Yeah.
It was good, but it felt like nothing progressed each issue. Till he showed up with Sandman, like, impaled or whatever on their table.
Right. Right. But my favorite X-Men My favorite Marvel book, it's in the X-Men branch, so I guess I could say that. X-Factor. No surprise there.
Agreed.
Yeah, because X-Factor is freaking superb. Except for the last couple of issues with the art change. I hate the new artist with a passion. Everybody who listens to 11 O'Clock Comics already heard David rant about me saying saying bad things about the art, but... quite frankly, I think Larry Stroman forgot how to draw. I believe that entirely. He didn't draw for a very long time, And he said this in interviews, that he didn't draw, I think, for maybe four or five years or something like that. And now he's picking it back up and hoping that he's going to be as good. Well, I'm sorry, dude, but your glory days are over. I mean, really, really bad. But
I wish someone would tell it to Claremont.
Yeah, right, right. Nobody, no,
but did you read the one shot, Delilah Miller?
Yes, I did. It was great. It was great. I loved it. It's great. For one thing, it's good knowing where she is and knowing that she's okay.
You said that same thing last year.
What?
X Factor.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm being consistent, all right? I'm being consistent because it's the – okay, but I'm actually going to put it this way. It's always the first book I read whenever it comes out, and that to me is a book that you have to read, that you have to enjoy, and that's what it's been for me. And even though I've been not enjoying the art, it says something about the book. It says something about Peter David that I'm still picking it up and enjoying it just for the words. You know, if I close my eyes, well, then I'd have someone have to read it to me, which would be weird. But if I just looked at the word balloons, I'd still be enjoying it as a book. So that's why X Factor is up there for me. Honorable mention I'll put up there is, and you know, everybody's sort of torn on this, but you know what? Fuck you anyway. Amazing Spider-Man. I'm going to say it because I've been enjoying it this past year, ever since the Brand New Day stuff. I've been enjoying all the Brand New Day stuff. So there you go. Amazing Spider-Man's my runner up there. And, for independent, The Boys, because Garth Ennis has never been bloodier, and the past couple of issues have been holy shit when we start to learn more about their work.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the plane story. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Holy shit.
Here's the thing, though. Except for that skirmish with the Fox Teen Titans, mm-hmm. The group of guys who regulate superheroes don't ever seem to do much in regulation. I was hoping to find, you know, more confrontation between, you know, the Batman archetype who was with the screwing fetish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they just didn't seem to go to it. They just show up, talk. You know, I don't know. I just find the lack of action in this book, except for when they show how screwed up superheroes are. I mean, in that whole Teen Titans, I mean, the Fox Teen Titans story, mm-hmm. the orgy had more action than the whole story.
I'm kind of going to agree with Umar there. It has been, like, all talk the last six issues to me.
But to me, it's been needed. You know, I feel that I'm learning more about their world in this, and that there is going to be action coming, because I sure as hell believe that in the next couple of issues, there's going to be some drag-out fighting going on. From the way things have been going. So it's more the lead up than anything else for me. That puts me as my top. Makes
well,
sense.
Enjoy X Factor while you can.
I really like to see what. Oh, go ahead.
I said, enjoy X Factor while you can because Peter David's on it and he's cursed.
Hey, man, he's lasted 30 some odd issues. That's a good sign. It's a good sign. All right, but what were you going to say, Umar?
I was just saying, they had. When I read the interview with Garth Ennis before it came out, he was telling us about all these characters. I still don't know what they can all do. I'm like, well, you know, at some point, you've got to show us what your characters can do. Why is the weird, creepy little chick the strongest one? I have no clue. The only one who's ever seen do anything of any strength is Huey.
Okay, yeah. So you're waiting for their powers, basically.
I'm waiting, you know, and I think, what is it, up to 16 or something like that? I'm like, in all this time, I still don't know who these people are. I think, you know, I mean, I just think that in a comic book, within about four issues, I should get a handle on who everybody is.
I hear you. Yeah, but
I'm still buying it. It's Garth Ennis, and he, you know, he jumped the shark from me, but that airplane story was. But I'm not surprised they're screwed up. I kind of figured they're screwed up when A-Train killed Huey's girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of Derek's art?
Oh, the art's amazing.
Okay. Good. Good. At least you're in that.
Is he still DC exclusive?
Derek? No, I don't think so. I'm not sure. I mean,
thought he was still, like, he had, like, 2 years on that, I thought.
Yeah? I don't know. Well, if he is, they're sure as hell not using him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because, I mean, if I were DC, I would have put him on something, like, I would have put him on something big, but I guess not. Well, I think DC might have just fallen out of favor with him, with them, what they did with the boys in the first place. So,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of, you know, bad. But, all right, let's move on to best miniseries. Unless you want to go biggest flop first, I'll take it to the crowd. What do you want to talk about next?
Flop.
All right, here we go. Biggest flop, and I think I know who's one person's biggest flop is going to be, but I'll save him for last. So we'll just go to Brent first. Biggest flop.
Ah, damn it. Go to.
All right, fine. Umar, give me your biggest flop as if I don't know what it is.
Miniseries.
No, I'm in Ocala Boy.
Oh, okay. All right, Sean.
His name escapes me. Sean.
Sean. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You haven't said his name in like 15 minutes.
Ocala Boy? Jesus. All right. Sean, give me your favorite miniseries.
My favorite miniseries.
Flop. Jesus. What do you want, people? For the love of God. All right.
Jesus.
All right. Biggest flop. Sean, give me your biggest flop.
What if I read that just fucking hated? Yeah. I've been really good. I haven't picked up anything I went, I'm never touching this again.
Everything was great except for
because like I was trying to remember, had I read Final Crisis? Oh no, Dream Wars. Fuck that shit.
Wait, is that
you guys
that,
even know what
crossover?
I'm talking about?
Is it the crossover? The Wildstorm DC?
Yeah. No, wait a minute. Did y'all say miniseries or event?
No, biggest flop. Period.
Okay.
Just whatever you didn't like.
Yeah, whatever you didn't.
Oh,
like. Yeah.
Oh, that makes.
Does it have to be comics or like just?
yeah, comics, man. Comics. We're not on
myself
anything
last
else
week.
Yet.
Well, no. Most of what I've read this year, I've really enjoyed.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess I've just been lucky. Uh-huh. Like I haven't picked up anything that I've. I mean, Brand New Day. Like that was horrible. Was that this year?
Yeah, that was this year. But I love it. But anyway. But you mentioned Dream Wars, though. You want to talk about that a little bit?
I read two issues, and I was just like, really? I mean, this just feels like a publicity stunt. I mean, I don't know. I guess it was just me. And I like Wildstorm. I mean, for Christ's sakes, I'm a huge Authority fan. But, like, I don't know. I just wasn't a big fan of it. But, like, I'd have to say biggest flop for me was Brand New Day. I just hated it. Absolutely hated it. Hands down. I have such violent feelings for Joe Quesada.
Yes, we all know about your secret tendencies of wanting to, you know, do bad, bad things to Joe Quesada.
And Grant Morrison, they both got it coming. That said, if he wants to hire me, I'm all cool with that.
I hate the man, but my resume is out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's but like I said, everything I've read, I've been really lucky. I've either remotely enjoyed or really enjoyed. So I didn't have anything that really said, whatever. So sorry, I didn't have something like a better for you.
It's okay. It's okay. No big deal. I will roll it over to Umar.
Okay.
Oh, please. We all know what I hate.
Yeah, no, so I know. Go ahead, rant.
And I hate the DC people who are trying to hammer this crazy-ass crap into something. I hate the peripheral issues that have absolutely nothing to do with the issue, except for that one character might appear. It just drives me nuts. And I am an event whore. You could throw anything at me. I got all the Heroes Reborns. I didn't care. And all the subsequent relaunches. I got all those, too. I love events. But this event... I don't understand it at all. I don't get what people see. It took 3 weeks later for me to listen to Comic Geek speak to finally understand what happened in issue number 3. That's crazy.
See, I believe them. They did tell everyone that it wasn't going to be until issue 3 when things started picking up. And when I read that, I was like, come on. But I believe them now.
Well, okay.
It didn't pick up until issue 3.
But people,
what are we talking
people
about?
Are isolating themselves. Final Crisis.
Yeah. I was about to say because Umar didn't actually say what he was ranting about. So, all right, Final Crisis. There we go.
People,
okay,
before you continue, in order to argue for this book, what people do is isolate themselves on the event. I just bought 52 issues that were supposed to build up into something. I bought all these dumbass side issues along with the official issues that they told me at cons and on podcasts on internet radio shows. They said this is going to lead up. In the middle of those 52 issues, say, oh, you know what? We're sorry. We went a little bit wrong, but don't worry. By the time we get to issue 0, this is going to lead into Final Crisis. It's going to be so big. It didn't lead nowhere. And we opened up Final Crisis. Now all the Final Crisis apologists are going, well, look, forget those 52 issues. That $3.99 you spent per issue. Forget that. This story should stand alone. Why did y'all keep telling me it shouldn't? The new guys had a war. When? I thought they were murdered. Darkseid died 3 times. Orion died 3 times. Granny Goodness died twice. All heroes witnessed it and completely forgot it when they moved into the event that all this stuff was supposed to build towards. So I would like to accommodate people by just sticking to the 1-3 issues that came out in the event, but I can't. And then all the side issues. Martian Manhunter is trapped in a cage, then blown up in a mountain range somewhere, and then taken off the planet instead of the mountain range. Huh?
And yeah, they never explained how he got off that fucking prison planet.
And then they kill him, and the protocol they set up 2 years ago, that if one of our members die, we immediately investigate, but everybody's trying to investigate Orion. Why? Well, that's the bigger threat. But what if their own die? You know, the one that was captured by a bunch of criminals? Do you mean the Justice League are not busting through Darth Vader's helmet?
Yeah.
No, but there's a bigger thing going on. But who would stop the Justice League from investigating the death of a friend no matter what? Okay, Orion's there. You guys handle that. Put the Small Leaguers on there. We got to go find out who killed our friend. He has a funeral, and they mar it with that, and we pray for a resurrection. Well, gee. Okay.
The resurrection will take place.
They know who did it, though. Don't they know who did it?
Issue 3 comes, and I found out that this Pac-Man figure they drew in issue 2 is the anti-life equation. Where was this said? Oh, on page 4 of issue 3. Oh, well, why didn't you say that on the page that you put the Pac-Man symbol up on? And what does Frankenstein got to do with this? And how did they get Catwoman into this?
It's a jump in time, damn it. You're with the Flashes. They're going through time.
No,
you're like,
don't get me started on the Flashes
or whatever.
Yeah,
let's bring back Barry Allen. Let's not explain it. We're just going to bring him back. What's Barry Allen doing chasing the bullet?
So
he's trying to. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I need to make the comment. Couldn't we have just not had issues 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Couldn't we have just started at issue 3 and everything would have been super? Just compact what happened in 1 and 2? Because, I mean, everything was compacted in the first place. So why not just compact it a little bit more, and everything moves. Everything happens. Just the way it should.
Really, you're right. Because if they start just taking that of heroes, listen, I know the new gods were going to be reborn. That's the way of gods. There's no way those powerful creatures are going to die, and the energy had to go somewhere. If they're taking over humans, I have a problem with that, with all that Dark Side Club stuff. But instead, they're hammering a new thing in, and then saying, well, we're going to ignore all the old stuff. It's like, but you don't have to. And then there are excuses. Well, when I was writing Final Crisis 3, they were already done with 52, but didn't y'all all get at a con together and tell us? What you mean to tell me y'all left the con and separated for a year? There's no editorials? What are editors for? DC is one of those combos you open up. Assistant editor, associate editor, associate editor, assistant editor, oh, and cover artist. What are all these editors for?
For editing the editors.
Don't they have a continuity specialist? Didn't they the ones who hired
Ian Sattler? He fucked up. That's why they hired him, because it was so fucked up. Because they wrote the ending to Countdown, then they remembered what happens in Final Crisis number 1 and the rest of the book, and they're like, shit, we need a continuity editor. Ian Sattler, get over here.
So congratulations for Ian Sattler getting a new job.
And I only know his name because he was at MagnaCon.
Yeah.
And I think what they did was Grant Morrison put in his contract, you cannot retcon anything to me after what Marvel did to my X-Men. So you must keep it. And you must leave me alone. You know, it's like I make one last statement. It reminds me of season 3 of Angel, where Josh Whedon walked away and left the boys alone. They start drinking, smoking a little grass and everything like that. And it's like, I got an idea. They're just tossing stuff. It became a wild party after a while. If you watched season 3 and 4, you know exactly what I'm saying.
I'm on
crazy.
I'm on season 2, Umar, so I'm almost there.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
And then Josh came back in season 5, started kicking ass, and it all tightened back up. So I think Dan DiDio should pick up Grant Morrison's scripts, go, holy shit, what is he doing? And then I bet you all of a sudden.
Well, Sean, what were you going to say before you got cut off before?
Okay, because I did remember something that I picked up and just didn't like at all, and that was Trinity.
Okay.
I read 3 issues, and I just put it down, and I was just like, fuck this.
Really?
Just, yeah.
Well, what was it about it? Because actually, I'm loving that. It might just be because it's like 800 times better than Countdown, but... You know, I don't know, but what didn't you like about it?
Well, I mean, mediocre looks great compared to awful.
I'm guessing you're not a Bagley fan.
I go back and forth on them, but like I just like the issue personal best at punching robots. I distinctly remember I was issue 2 or 3, and like half the issue was Wonder Woman and Superman talking about that very topic. And then the back half of the issue felt like it had nothing to do with the front half. And I was just like, it had all to do with Jon Stewart. And I just I don't know. I was just like, what? Whatever.
That's what I didn't think about Trinity, because the back issues do. It's like it's not like the back endless origin stories in 52 and Countdown. They tell a backstory, and then the backstory gets sucked right into what's going on in Trinity. And I'm glad it's separate. I don't care if it's a separate story. To me, a weekly with the three of them, really, it's been some hit and miss. I have to agree, but it's got the icons in it. I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
And Boozy X also picking up on threads that he laid like years ago that he's finally getting the touch on in JOA when he was running JOA back in the day.
I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it. And yeah, that's pretty much that.
Yeah.
Well. I'm not going to say you're horrible for thinking it's good, because that's just silly, but you know, I personally didn't enjoy it.
Go ahead. Give me the internet response. Give me the internet response of me liking something that you don't like. Because I seriously want to see what your internet response would be.
Oh, I don't give a response. You're not worth my time. Oh,
okay. So my God, you suck. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, you know, when I think somebody sucks that bad, I'm like, yeah, he just sucks. And you know, if it comes up, I'll tell him. But I mean, it's too much effort to be an asshole to everybody. Yeah, it's too much.
It takes a lot of effort to spell wrong.
Right. So something. Fuck.
All right, but yeah, I think we get the point on Final Crisis and on Trinity and all that. My biggest flop I will touch on after Brent touches on his.
I don't know if I want to touch on mine, because that's kind of gay.
Okay, well, you want to just talk about it?
Okay, I'll do that, yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
My biggest flop, I want to say Titans, but I wasn't really expecting anything good from that series. I'm just kind of laughing that it's not out and they've only had 3 issues or something.
Well, didn't they totally rework like the 4th issue or something? Like they had to resolicit it entirely and like throw
it out? Yeah, they had to resolicit it, but they have the same artist or something, I thought.
No.
It's Joe Benitez, or no? No, I'm wrong.
No, it's not.
Churchill was coming back for that one, I thought. That's the one with him and Starfire on the cover.
Yeah.
In the pool.
Yeah, that was the,
that's
that was
why
the,
I ordered that issue, is that cover, yeah.
Yeah, that was and the, that's when that you was the knew, original story, but they threw that out entirely.
Ah, damn it.
And that's when you knew it was going wrong. Starfire naked with a pool with a phallic symbol above her. That, I was like, okay, woo, boy, I see Fonzie jumping right over you.
But other than my real flop, it's got to be Countdown. I was loving it when we were in like issue 26 and they had the war on Earth 51 or whatever. And I was like, we're going to get 25 more issues of this. It's going to be fucking awesome. And then it went to the great disaster where it turns people into animals. No thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of my big flop, too. We're really predictable, aren't we?
Eaten by rats! That was my favorite one. Yeah. Wow! Yeah, experienced superhero and a bunch of rats took you down. Well, okay.
The most disturbing piece of art, and I'm talking disturbing as in, like, the worst piece of art, is the one of the dog with the human hands. Because the human hands is sort of sticking out of the middle of nowhere. You know, they don't even replace the legs. They're just, like, extra human hands.
Someone sort of fly too that day.
Apparently so. but yeah, I don't know. Countdown was just like, it could have been something great. It could have been the next 52. Instead, it was maybe 8 issues out of 52 that I actually enjoyed. And the rest, I was just sitting there going, okay, the next one has to be better. Okay, the next one seriously has to be better. Why the fuck am I still reading this?
Well, you know something's wrong when Newsarama doesn't do all the closeout interviews for Countdown like they did for 52. Mm-hmm. And everybody stopped doing their weekly coverage. Like, IGN started one up just for Countdown of interviewing some writer or whatever. And Newsarama had it, and then it stopped midway through the thing. And it's just like, huh, okay, see where this is going. Nowhere.
The best part for Countdown was the ending. 3 weak-ass heroes go to watch a whole group of Uber gods. Okay.
And they tell them, we're going to be the people who watch over you. And meanwhile, in the DC Universe, Kyle's off with the GLs, Donna's with the Titans, and Adam is somewhere. End of story.
I'm pretending that never happened.
Yeah.
Did they ever explain why Ray Palmer was important?
No.
Because his name is the Atom and he's cool.
You know what pissed me off about Final Crisis? Back to what Umar was saying, though.
What?
And I was talking to you about this the other night, Ian. Grant Morrison probably had this thing outlined or at least written long time ago, right? Because they had to plan Countdown off of it.
Right.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
And they announced J.G. Jones on it as a long time ago, right?
Right.
And then he can't focus his ass to do, you know, an issue or anything when he's got this huge buildup of lead time. And then now he's going to have Carlos Pacheco to come on at the end. I'm just disappointed with the commitment of this artist.
Okay. Well, and what I mentioned to you when we were talking about it, and that's why I'm going to mention it here, is from the sounds of things, and I believe this was actually mentioned in at least one interview that Morrison did, I believe so. If not, please correct me on it on the forums or via email or whatever. But they had to make major rewrites for the end of Final Crisis, basically to jury-rig in what happened with Countdown and all this other stuff to sort of explain things. Morrison said, all right, fine, I can make this work. We're doing it, you know, blah, 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 blah. So there were script changes that were made. Because of these script changes, the art was not going to be able to be finished in time, and that's why they're bringing on Pacheco. That's what I heard, at least. So if that's true, if that's not true, please let me know. But that I can sort of accept.
Up until they're announcing Pacheco, every comment from J.G. Jones is, yeah, I'm on time. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going great.
Brent, so, Joe Quesada, how's that story doing? One more day. Oh, yeah, no, it's good. It's doing great. Well, no, we're on time. We're definitely on time. Yeah, there's going to be a two-month delay.
Once they figured out that they weren't going to be – he wasn't going to be able to do it on time – like, you know, when before the second issue came on or something, they should have just said, we're giving you an inker, whether you like it or not, and make it some big-ass inker that everybody likes.
Miki.
Danny Miki works for Marvel, though, but like Art Thibert or whatever. Okay. I know he's doing Eternity. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good inker, right? Yeah. Jimmy Palmiotti, great inker. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some other ones, but there are people out there that could have inked that book.
Actually, I would have just put Palmiotti on it. I would have just taken Palmiotti off whatever writing project he was doing and just put him on Anchor, because I mean he is the best inker in the stable, no question. But I don't know. I mean, but
that would have helped, because I'm sure if he wasn't penciling and inking everything, then he'd be a little bit faster, right?
Right, right.
Well, obviously, what would help is that when they do these things, and like I said, sometimes you can understand it. With Civil War, I like Magnificent, but I'm sorry, that last issue did not say, oh, that's why it was delayed, not to me. But I'm saying what would help is if when those issues finally come out and all those fanboys, I remember Civil War, I do believe that if fanboys were all in one place, there would have been a riot over that delay. Yet, when it came out, what, 300 to almost 400,000 copies on its first run?
Mm-hmm.
What are you telling them? Well, I mean, you know, really.
Well, with Civil War, I think the general response after the big outlash, and the reason there was big outlash was because, what was it? I think it was Wizard World Chicago. It happened like a week before they announced that that the delays were going to happen, I think. So that's why people were in an uproar, or some big con definitely happened like immediately before.
And it delayed half of their line.
Yes.
Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, mm-hmm. everything where the tie-ins were inside the books got delayed, which is why they're not doing it now for Secret Invasion.
But I do remember specifically that after the big outcry, everybody was sort of like, okay, whatever, if it's going to be good, then we'll wait for it. And, well, they certainly waited for it, and they bought it like they would have. And I want to actually bring Sean into the conversation here to ask him this. What would you rather get in this situation? Because obviously Final Crisis is dealing with this, and you know Civil War did before. Would you rather wait for good art, or would you rather a big delay, not a big delay, and bring on a new artist to finish it off?
No, I've said this before. That I want an artist that's good and can do it on time. Lanil Francis Yu is fast as fuck. That's why he's on Secret Invasion. And I love his style. Brian Deemer may not like it, but I think he's a great artist. Mm-hmm. And he's fast as fuck. And we're having no delays there.
Yeah.
And I thought DC would have learned from their last event, right? Infinite Crisis. Got Phil Jimenez, great artist, not fast. Mm-hmm. And then I understand they got George Perez and Jerry Ordway to do the Earth 2 sequences or whatnot, or the Crisis stuff. That was cool because it's a throwback to the old stuff. But when you throw in Ivan Reiss, who I love on Green Lantern, but him and Phil Jimenez do not mix and match.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid of Final Crisis number 4 because Pacheco and J.G. Jones, two totally different styles.
Well,
I don't even know if they're going to handle it. See, I would like it probably if they do different story points or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know how it's going to turn out.
Well, Sean, what do you prefer?
It just seems to me though like they should that they should have learned from this. I'm done. Sorry.
No problem. I'll say this. Travis and I actually talked to this at great length, not in reference to Final Crisis or any of the DC stuff, but if they continue to pander to slow artists and, you know, piss off fanboys, like it would behoove them to, like, all both companies or all comic book companies to go find newer, quicker, faster artists that do good art than to continue to wait for, like, the established greats, because it does two things. One, it invigorates the business, and two, I mean, it's – how do you know you don't like an artist until you see him? Like, I mean, I know I like Jim Lee. I know I like Freddie Williams. I know I like Cobiel. I just like – but I don't know if I like this new guy because I've never seen him. Like, I would love to see an event done with a new artist, like, right out the gate. Like, that would be awesome. And, you know, if you have to switch up artists, find somebody that'll make a deadline, because I'll be honest, people that don't make deadlines don't deserve to be doing what they do. Then they need to go do graphic novels where there isn't a huge thing. I just, like, I have no respect for artists that can't maintain a schedule.
Right.
Like, that's why Lee Bermejo is doing the Joker graphic novel. He can't do a schedule because his style is too detailed.
Yeah. And that's fine. I have nothing against the artist. It's just don't get on a book if you can't do a book. Like, that's just the way I feel.
And
That's
how
somebody who's quicker.
Feel. That's how most people feel these days. And I think that we have to make sure that the companies feel that way also. But, you know, if we continue to buy the books, then, well, they're going to continue to put whoever the hell they want on the titles. And, I mean, Umar made the comment earlier. I made the comment earlier. We all made the comment that, yeah, we want people that are fast and can get it out right away, but we keep buying the books anyway. So what's the problem here?
Well, actually, I think that what also behooves them is they know they got a slow artist. Be honest about it. Stop promising till the last minute and then to the last – because I think that's what really pisses people off. If you told us – I mean, when they say an event is coming, we wait for that event. We don't go, oh, no, a whole year? Oh, no, a whole 2 years? But if you said, okay, we got this artist on it. All right, we got to wait for him. We know. It's going to come out. Like Ultimates, I felt, was a little honest. It's going to get delayed. You know, okay. But to me, the art was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But as for the argument about details, what I always go is, you do not get more detailed than George Perez. George Perez has done so many books that came out monthly. I mean, the man could draw on a stamp and draw every member of the Legion of Superheroes. When you look at the stamp, you know exactly what everybody's doing in the picture. That's detail. And if he can put most of his stuff out one time, what's the problem here with everybody else?
Good question.
And see, hold on, what was I going to say? Crap. I just, like, blanked. It was, wait. I almost had it. Damn it. If it comes back to me, I'll say it. Like as soon as I went to say it, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
Dude, it happens to me all the time. I mean, every now and then I'm – oh, wait. Wait, what was I going to say?
Yeah, like I have no idea where I was even going to go now. Great. That's gone.
Okay, well, George Perez, detailed, best ever.
No, I wasn't going to say – it's just like – oh, I remember now. You know what? If they can't make it monthly, just say, hey, it's going to be bi-monthly, you know, and just give us more titles. Just, you know, just make them bi-monthly. I know it's a longer time to wait, but at least, you know, you're being honest. It's, you know.
Well, get it all done before you put it out. Like, I'm hoping Van Sciver has been working on Flash Rebirth for a while now, you know?
I think he has.
Right.
Because hopefully DC's going to learn because – hopefully they've learned from his, like, you know, Rebirth. There was a delay in that. Wasn't there was like a little delay? Nobody remembers it because it was just a little tiny miniseries.
Yeah.
And that's why he only did like two books last year. He did all of the Sinestro Corps special and poured his heart into that, which is why it was great. But I'm sure he took a fucking long time to do 48 or 64 pages, whatever that was. And then he did the JLA issue and he took a long time to do that. You know? So... like, from last June to this May, he did one book. So I'm hoping that you know, he's going to like pull back on this Flash thing so he can do all six issues consecutively and put them out on time, you know? Because that'll help his status a lot. Because a lot of people like him, but I mean, if he's not, if they're going to put that book out and there's going to be a delay in the middle of it, then it's going to hurt his career. It's going to hurt him. I love the guy, but if I'm picking up Flash Rebirth solely because of his art, which is why I'm going to get it, then I want to be able to read it concurrently, you know?
Yeah. And can I just make the statement, this is why I love podcasting, because we went on a question, biggest flop, and that led to an entire topic about, you know, late artists. So, yeah, yet again, I love podcasting. That's all I got to say.
Because late books are bad, okay?
Okay. And don't do marijuana, because marijuana is bad, okay?
Oh, you know how we were talking about artists that they put on events that nobody knows? Mm-hmm. Pete Woods. They put him on Amazon's Attack. Yeah, it wasn't great, but I thought that was a great move because I think he's like an on-time artist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
and he had some great art in there, even though the story was so-so.
The Superman stuff. I mean, was Action Comics. That was lights out.
And he had like a short run on Batman before that, too. That was great, too.
Yeah. No, he's a great artist who needs to do more stuff.
And they put him on Infinity Inc. for like the last four issues, and now he's getting wasted.
I guarantee you that Marvel's going to eat him up.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, because DC's just not working with them right. But, all right, let's try and get back on topic here ever so slightly, and let's actually go to Best Miniseries now. This one, if you want to do Maxi-Series as well, we could do that. If not, just roll in Miniseries as well. But I'm going to touch on – I'm completely ignoring the big events because I don't even consider those to be Miniseries. I consider those to be event books. So Final Crisis and Secret Invasion aren't even going to factor in this, even though I love Secret Invasion, and that would be my pick if I was talking about that. But I'm going to say best event miniseries was Secret Invasion. But best miniseries right now is 1985, Mark Miller. Because
you got my pick.
Oh, this has been so good. Mark Miller does his best work when it's with characters that we didn't have before. And he's crafting a world where it's basically our world. You know, I mean, that's the way it's working, where it's the real world, and it's being invaded by Marvel Comics supervillains. And what happens when that happens? And it's taking place in the year 1985, and it's got that nice old feel look. The art is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And it's totally suited for the material as well. The artist is... what the hell's the name? Hold on. Tommy Lee Edwards is doing the art on this, and I know that he wasn't even originally going to be the artist on it. They were going to go for this, like, photorealistic, like, magazine-type feel, which was going to have, like, real people in it and stuff, and I'm really happy they didn't go for that stylized look, because the art that Tommy Lee Edwards is churning out is just gorgeous, and the story just has me completely hooked. I can't wait to see where it's going next. This last issue that just came out last week was just, it was amazing. So definitely 1985 is going to be my pick for best miniseries. And I stole your pick, Umar?
Not really. I just said I would have picked that, but I'm going with Namor, the Submariner miniseries, the aftermath of the Civil War one that ended early this year. Mm-hmm. I just thought that, first off, finally somebody got Namor to a point where, because I think underwater beings are cool. I think they keep misstepping on Aquaman, but that Namor miniseries... And I really wish they had done more with that ending.
Well, you know what? Spoiler alert. First off, who wrote it? And second of all, if you want to explain the ending, you can.
I forgot who wrote it. I don't have it in front of me, so, and I don't have a head for these things like most other fanboys. Okay. But it was the Atlantis had – you found out Namor had put sleeper cells of Atlanteans converted to look like humans to watch the superhuman and the human community. And how you found out he got a radical pair who ignited a bomb in a major city. So, of course, Tony Stark, head of S.H.I.E.L.D., had to surround Atlantis, you know, because the army is clamoring for, hey, these people attacked us, we got to attack back. And it goes through the whole thing of him investigating what's going on. And near the end, he had to destroy all of Atlantis, he had to kill his own son, and he ended up teaming up with Dr. Doom.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
It was a hell of a series. I haven't seen a trade for it, but if you see it, grab it. It is the most one of the most amazing things I've read since Peter David got on Aquaman.
This was done by Peter Johnson, I believe, according to what I'm reading here from a random forum thread. So hopefully this is indeed right. But so is that still status quo with everything that happened in Atlantis with it and all that?
Well, there was certain elements that's been building. I don't know how much of Brendis's stuff with Secret Invasion got involved in, but in the end, realizing this is way before the Skrull attack, before they found out Electra was a Skrull. So I didn't know where they were taking it. All I knew at the very end, he sends all the Atlanteans out, hides them amongst men. They're hidden amongst us. And then takes his elite guard. And the last thing you see him is crossing the seas, coming up to a mountain, coming over and meeting Doom and his army and shaking hands.
Oh, wow.
In an old-style supervillain team-up thing.
So basically they did Amazon's attack right.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow.
It was just awesome. And like... it slept. People didn't say anything about it, but I was like, and Namor was just kicked. They had a Namor Venom fight that went properly. He beat the crap out of Venom like he should have.
Well, good, because he's the first freaking mutant, and he's powerful as hell. All right, so I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that, and I'll probably have to pick it up and trade because I think it's available. But Sean, you want to roll over to miniseries?
Sure. There is a three-shot going on with Thor. The first one was called Ages of Thunder. The second one was Reign of Blood, and I don't remember what the third one's going to be called because it hasn't come out yet. Man of War. I haven't read it yet, but so far, favorite. Just hands down, favorite. They're old school, like Thor tales, like told when he was in Asgard, mm-hmm. And like the first one's all about how it was his job to protect Asgard and how he was a badass warrior, and that's pretty much it. And it's just a whole issue of Thor killing giants left and right, and it's awesome. And then the second one has more to do with Enchantress and like her role in the Asgard, and they're just fantastic. Well written, great art, just, I mean, all around, Thor's kicking ass this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything he's been putting out, and even the first issue, I don't know if you picked up the first issue of Thor Secret Invasion, but
I'm sorry?
Secret Invasion Thor, the miniseries that's coming out.
No, I haven't picked up the Secret Invasion Thor yet.
Okay, because that's also written by Matt Fraction.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Man, he is awesome.
Yeah, no, he's everything he's been doing has been turning to gold. I mean, you know, Invincible Iron Man, Uncanny X-Men, since he's been co-writing with Brubaker the past two issues. 500 was a little but that's mostly because of land. But
gland or land?
Land. It could have been a glandular problem for all I know.
Okay, listen. I have to say this. Leave Greg Land alone. I like Greg Land. I like Kitty Pryde looking like a hooker. I like that.
So you enjoy porn face. I'm glad to hear it.
I really like Traction face. On Iron Fist.
Iron Fist?
Hell yes.
That should be a porn name movie.
Oh, shit.
I got a fever. I can only feed it with more porn face.
But yeah, not only is it Matt Fraction on Secret Invasion Thor, but Dougie Braithwaite is doing the art.
Okay.
And he actually did one of the I'm not sure if it was Earth X or Universe X, but one of those series he did with Alex Ross.
He did Universe and Paradise X.
There we go. Universe and Paradise X.
And he was also the penciler for Justice. Alex Ross just painted over
him.
Who
did the artwork for that Captain America one shot? I think it was the last one, Paradise X, where the Red Skull was suddenly a devotee of Captain America, and he pointed out, but you are the Nazi ideal, and that was such an awesome story, and the art was great. I just can't remember who did the art. Huh. The inky just reminded me of Jansen a lot.
Okay, let's see. Paradise X, Captain America. That was a one-shot?
Yeah.
Okay. If I can find it, I will, but... what I really liked was the Paradise X, I think it was a Paradise X one, Paradise X Spidey, where we go into the whole psyche of Spider-Man, and we find out that he's, you know, always been in love with Gwen Stacy, which is, to, you know, yet again I make the statement, the one
bullshit.
Story you can know, no, not even bullshit, but it's the one story you can never tell with a single Spider-Man, because with a married Spider-Man, you're always going to have that doubt as to whether or not he even is with the person he really loves.
She's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, she's dead.
So he can't. The only way for him to be with her is to take Thanos route.
Yeah.
And Mary Jane, well, she, okay, we all know it. Mary Jane's the wife. Gwen Stacy is the love. We know that, but we don't need them single to keep proving that. Jeez.
Yeah.
And the marriage worked.
All right. Well, I was saying that's the one story you can tell with a married Spider-Man. You know, that he ended up with somebody that wasn't his first love, his true love. That's the
but
one
who
story.
Who didn't know that?
Tell. I don't know. People?
You know, maybe some of these whippersnappers out here podcasting might not know that, but us old folks who still own that Gwen Stacy issue know it.
In my day, Spider-Man was married and we liked it. Just going back to Matt Fraction, everything he does is gold, so I certainly agree with your statements on the Thor stuff because that's been really, really good.
I have to admit, I haven't picked up those Thors. I got them, but they're in a pile of to be reads, but now I'm putting them up a little bit.
Okay, cool.
Hey, Matt, definitely. Like, seriously, just go read them. It's a half an hour you're just going to completely enjoy.
But don't read them now because you're podcasting. Read them after.
Right. No, later.
Yeah. I'm just saying, reading and podcasting is like drinking and driving. It just doesn't work. Brent, miniseries.
I didn't really pick up that many. I picked up Gotham Underground, which was bleh. Salvation Run, which was meh.
Meh.
But I really liked Black Adam.
Oh, bravo. Yeah, I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me.
I know it ended in March, or cover date March. I don't even know. But that was the one I looked forward to coming in my box month in, month out. Doug Monkey art just kicked ass. I loved the story. I'd never been attached to the character before, but this just grabbed me. I can't wait for him to come back, like, real, not in, like, Countdown.
Yeah. Black Adam should get best overall comeback character because since they elevated him in JSA a couple of years back, they've just been strong with that character. And that miniseries, I forgot about it. I have to bravo, sir. Bravo, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And actually, I want to throw an honorable mention out there for miniseries because it actually just started. I haven't read the second issue yet. True Believers. If you haven't picked it up, issue one I read. That is good shit. That is
you have to add a new category, Surprise of the Year, because that shocked the hell out of me. That was really good.
In fact, you know what? Yeah, why not? We'll go into that, Surprise of the Year, because True Believers, I was expecting, you know, and we mentioned this, Sean mentioned it, that, you know, he wasn't expecting anything and he got gold with the World of Warcraft. This was my gold, because I picked it up thinking, okay, I think Heroes Corner had it for like 75 cents. I'm like, why the hell not? I'll pick it up. And it blew me out of the water. And it might just be because I'm a podcaster, you know, because they have the whole blogging and podcasting aspect of this here. But the True Believers basically are this group. We're not even sure yet if they're actually superpowered, but they're using technology to take down the corrupt. And then they put their chase, basically, up on the internet on a True Believers blog. And they even have, like, video podcasts and podcasts they put out there so that everyone can see and hear what they're doing. And Iron Man's pissed, obviously, because they're not registered and, you know, they got to go after him. And the cliffhanger of issue one left me really wanting more. And I'm glad that I'm picking up this entire thing, that it's been in my box, because I'm really enjoying it. So this is definitely my shock here because I wasn't expecting anything. And the art is actually really good. It's Galassi on art. And Bates is writing. I've never even heard of Bates before, but he's doing it. And, definitely, if you haven't picked up True Believers, it's not that far into it. It's a five-issue miniseries. You can either wait for trade or pick up 1, 2, and then wait for 3 to come out. But I would definitely do that if you haven't. It's been really, really exciting.
If you could pick up the floppy, I like some trades. And I have no problem with the so-called slow burn or anything like that because some things do read better in trades. Mm-hmm. But cliffhangers of what comic books used to be, and True Believers, and twists. True Believers has a great twist.
Oh, yeah.
And on that scene with Iron Man also demonstrated that his major irritation was he can't stop these little superhero groups from popping up.
Mm-hmm.
Like New Warriors, which if we had to talk about failures.
Whoa. Holy crap, man.
I like to tell man, you make a great werewolf, but would you go read the old New Warriors for Christ's sake?
Man, I think I'm 7 issues behind on New Warriors because I kept picking it up and I felt no reason to read it. So I'm just going to stop picking it up now because no thank you.
I don't blame you, but I have to do my surprise. Nova. That book has totally blown me away issue after issue. I cannot believe Marvel got its cosmic stuff so together.
Yeah.
The Secret Wars tie-in is awesome.
I haven't read the Secret Invasion crossover yet. So yeah, I believe that's actually in my stack waiting for me to be read. So the last one I read of Nova was the last Galactus issue. So that's the one before the one that just came out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just one just before it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But then. That Galactus one who's doing it? Is it Abnett and Lanning? Doing Nova?
Yeah, Abnett and Lanning are doing it, yeah.
They get Marvel's Cosmic.
Oh, yeah.
And that Galactus story, I thought I would hate Silver Surfer going back, but I actually like him. Back with Galactus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think it sort of works for his character right now, especially if you read Annihilation. You know, his reasoning behind it made sense in the overall theme of Annihilation. So for now, him being with him, he's basically taking him to worlds that are either about to die or aren't habited, basically. Or if he does have to go to a world with people on it, he makes sure that the people have a chance to evacuate ahead of time. That's what Silver Surfer is doing right now, and it makes sense for his character. So that's why I've really been digging it. But yeah, Abnett and Lanning have been out of the park on it so far. So they picked up Giffen's original concepts and rolled with them in places that I wasn't expecting at all.
And there was an event. I don't know. I think it just ended. But that Annihilation, both of them,
mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Annihilation Conquest.
I think I've read. I'm waiting for the last hardcover on the last one, but I've reread that first Annihilation about 3 times now.
Yeah. That's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. Brent, what are you sending me here?
The Paradise X Special A has Captain America on that, and it says, Comic Book DB says, pencil was Dougie Braithwaite.
There you go.
Inker Bill Reinhold.
Excellent.
Oh, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What a hell of a cover, but that was a great story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I remember that. I picked up everything Paradise X. I picked up all the X's, period. Earth X, Universe
X. I got them in trade.
Oh, you got them in trade?
I got them all in trade, and it was great.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and one other thing that I wanted to mention on the biggest shocks, NYX, No Way Home. I picked it up, basically hoping for the best yet again. And, this is a lot better than Joe Quesada ever did. And I mean ever did. I mean, the characters, I actually feel for them.
Wasn't the original one that came out once a year or some craziness like that?
Yes, because Joe Quesada was writing it. Yeah, because Quesada was writing it, and the artist they had on it, whose name escapes me at the moment, was a very, very slow artist. And now they've got...
Wasn't it Josh Middleton?
Josh Middleton, yes, there you go. Yeah, he actually was dropped from it for the last issue because he just didn't do it. So that was not good. But the current artist they have on it has a style that's similar enough to Middleton's style, where the characters still look the same, basically. And Majori Liu, who's writing it now, I don't know who you are, but thank you. That's all I have to say about that. I'm going to roll on from here and have other people have their shocks. Brent, biggest shock.
I'm going to have a 3-way tie. Booster Gold, Batman and the Outsiders, and Nightwing, once Peter Tomasi jumped on.
Mm. Ooh, Peter Tomasi.
Booster Gold, I did not expect to like that at all. First arc was good, and then they brought Blue Beetle back, and I was kind of like, oh, god damn it. But that last arc was great.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Dixon's issue was great, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, why am I liking this book? It's well written.
Well, that's why you're liking it.
And
it comes out
Gold.
Every month, and it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistently good, and that's the same thing with Batman and the Outsiders. It's going to be on like its what, fourth or fifth writer now with the next issue, and we don't know where the hell it's going to go after that.
Yeah.
But 1 to 9 or 10, whatever it is, from Chuck Dixon, consistently fun, consistently good, and the art was consistently great. Those two guys, Carlos Rodriguez and I don't know who the other guy was, but like they're from the same art studio or something like that. I was listening to Chuck Dixon on Word Balloon or something like that when this first came out. And they work next to each other. So that's why their styles are so similar and they marry together so well. Those two guys are awesome. I hope they stay on the book.
Well, hopefully they stay married. I mean, hopefully they don't get divorced.
And then, Nightwing. Who knew you could get a good Nightwing story? Ooh. Who knew?
Oh, I guess you read that Talia al Ghul arc, which I really loved.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow, what a hell of a... And I'm glad they're showing him more as a detective as well as action. They used to balance Batman out that way, but you know now he's more Dark Knight. But it just reminded me of the old days when he was where it started with a mystery, and Batman had to go through the steps of a mystery. And that one, wow! It's a shame. I like Talia al Ghul as Batman, but I think she makes a better Nightwing foil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Rags Morales and Don Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, normally I complain because I like one artist, but those are two artists I love.
Oh yeah,
I love Don Kramer to a fault. And then Rags Morales, I like him, and he's doing okay on here. I'm happy.
Well, I think
Captain
America was the best proof that you could have two artists on a title and still be really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely that Nightwing has been out of the park. And for the best decision that DC made was taking Peter Tomasi out of the front office and getting him back into writing, because everything he writes now is great.
And Green Lantern Corps, too, is awesome.
Yeah, please. And actually, my pick for one shot, which we're going to be talking about later, was a Tomasi issue. So there you go. But Sean, you got any big shocks you want to talk about other than World of Warcraft?
Well, okay, because you know I read more trades than actual issues.
Sure.
I kind of stumbled onto something. I don't know if it's new or not, but Wormwood, Gentleman Corpse, Ben Templesmith.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic series. Like, just, I don't know. Like, that was my big find for this year. Like, I was really excited because I'm a big Ben Templesmith art fan, and then this whole series is written by him.
Oh, interesting. So, is that his first writing work, or has he done stuff before, you know?
I have no idea. Like, I just, like, I was at Books A Million a couple months ago, and, like, the volume one of the trade was there, and I read it and loved it. And then volume two and three were in a couple weeks ago, and I got to read those. So I don't know how long it's been going on or whatnot, but I just want to throw it out there. Fantastic series. It's absolutely hilarious. And it's Ben Templesmith's art, so like I'm a big fan of it. I mean, it's definitely something that not everybody gets into. But that said, he's not bad at all in all the writing side of things. So I was really impressed and really happy because I'm a big Ben Templesmith fan.
Well, I discovered him on the Army of Darkness thing he did. That was pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
But I like those crazy books.
Yep.
Well, looking at it now, he did 30 Days of Night, Red Snow in 2007. His first work writing-wise was IDW's Tale of Terror and then Singularity 7 in 2004. And he's since done both Wormwoods that came out, both the Gentleman Corps and Gentleman Corps Calamari Rising in 2007.
Yep.
And Welcome to Hoxford is his new new writing gig that he's been doing since 2008.
Okay.
So that's basically all he's been doing, according to Comic Book TV.
Okay. There's one other series that I was really excited he was doing, Warren Ellis and him. Mm-hmm. But apparently it's just kind of fallen through the cracks. And that was Fell.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Fell was fantastic. I miss it. I read all 9 issues and then I don't know what happened. I believe it was actually Templesmith's fault that it fell through.
Aww.
Like he was doing so many other things that he couldn't keep up with the art. So, and that book doesn't work without him as the artist.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that would be like replacing Frank Quitely on All-Star Superman. You know, I mean, it's
really because I hate Frank Quitely.
Really,
I love him.
Well, no, see, I've made this comment a couple times on the show. I love Frank Quitely. Just have somebody else draw his faces.
Yeah, that's actually it. That's
why
I
like him.
That's why you like him. The faces.
It's different. It's interesting.
All
they're
right.
Not
I like
all
him
beautiful
too.
People.
Well, he draws Lois Lane's face like a Russian hooker, but you know, I mean, everything else is cool.
I just got such a bad taste in my mouth with him after his run on X-Men. That was it.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I felt like he corrupted my heroes.
Aw. They're there.
Yeah.
They're there, sir. They're back to normal now, and they're being written by Ed Brubaker. It's all good.
Yep. So I'm happy.
All right.
But that's my only little find. Like I said, just because I read more trades than I do issues. So.
Okay. Well.
But, there you go.
Well, speaking of issues, though, are there any one-shots you read this year?
One-shots. Other than the Thor thing, no.
Okay.
The Ages of Blood and or Reign of Blood and Ages of Thunder. Like, those are fantastic. But other than that, not really. Like, I've just been keeping up with those the few ongoings that have been going on in like Secret Invasion, and that's pretty much it. Okay. So.
Okay, cool. Oh, and I know that you're an Iron Man fan, so I just wanted to mention this at some point during the show. If you haven't been reading Iron Man Legacy of Doom, definitely pick it up.
Oh, I read the first issue, and I picked up that book. Mm-hmm. I had a whole stack of graphic novels that I was going to read one day, uh-huh. and it was on the bottom, unfortunately. I got like halfway through the stack, and then I had to go to work.
Ah, damn.
Yeah, so no, it's on my list of things to read.
Okay, good, because it's nice old school Iron Man fun.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but my favorite one shot, and I know that I mentioned the Tomasi, so I'm going to follow up on that. It is the issue that made me give a crap about Martian Manhunter's death, and that is, of course, is Final Crisis Requiem. Mostly because it fleshes out the entire thing. As opposed to just getting two panels of Martian Manhunter's death, you find out everything that happened during that. That he actually put up a fight, and that there was a long, basically drawn-out battle, and then you get this very touching final thoughts, really, of Martian Manhunter that have spread throughout the hero community, and you basically live his life through the other hero's thoughts, and it was very touching and very well done, and the Doug Mankey art on it was superb as well, so that's why I'm definitely going to have Final Crisis Requiem be my favorite one-shot of the year, because it actually made me give a damn about the two-panel death of one of my favorite heroes. So, yay. Umar.
One-shots. Wow, I'm trying to think. One-shots. Was there any one-shots that wowed me? Oh, too many events, too many comics. Come back to me. I'll think of it.
Okay, that's fine. Brent?
The Robin spoiler special was okay, but I'm going to go with you. Requiem.
Okay, cool. Why did you like it so much?
It was great. It was touching. And Doug Mankey on art.
Wow, that sounds familiar. Well, plus, Doug Mankey needs to do more. Seriously. I mean, lately he's been doing maybe 5 issues a year, if anything. I mean, he did the Black, he did the Black Adam stuff, and he did the Requiem here, and didn't he do a little bit of Stormwatch PhD, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, and other than that, there's been no Doug Mankey. You know, I mean, I'm surprised they haven't put it back on a regular series by now, because, I mean, he's a type of artist that is high profile enough that he would be able to sell a book on his art alone, I think. So I would certainly like to see more Doug Mankey. That would make me a very happy panda. All right, Umar, you think of anything?
I can't think of any one-shots that, what I'm thinking of is like, oh, well, actually, it is a one-shot. Oh, no, that was last year. Damn. I can't think of anything.
Mention it anyway. Why not?
The World War III, DC Universe versus Black Adam.
Okay.
It all came out at the same time, which I thought was a stroke of genius, and it was awesome.
Wow. You're like the one person who liked that.
I love that book. I don't understand what. Are you kidding me? Everyone. I didn't care if a few heroes who nobody bought in other books anyway got killed. I mean, people crack me up with that. Hawkeye's dead. Y'all never bought his book. They gave him like 800 miniseries. Nobody bought it. They kill him in one stupid event. Oh, it's a tragedy. Okay, fanboys. Bunch of bitchy little girls.
Does JLA number 20 count?
Yes.
As a one-shot, then that was my favorite.
Yeah, because
forgot about that.
Yeah, because remember, people, one-shots do count as well as, one-shots inside of a run of a book.
Okay, well, JLA number 20.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Does that broaden your horizons a little bit, Umar? I mean, is there anything?
I would say the Captain Marvel, his explanation of where he came from, mm-hmm. and the twist that we should have expected, but the way they did it was just awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just thought it broadened the Secret Invasion.
Well, plus it kind of validated him a little bit, because for all those people who were bitching and moaning about Captain Marvel coming back from the dead, there's a much better explanation for it.
But the one that surprised me was the Hawkman.
Which Hawkman?
And
the
Rand Thanagar War thing, okay. The Jim Starlin one that just came out, because I liked where they were going with it. My partner didn't, because he likes all the craziness they've had to try to cram into him since they tried to put all his origins from the multiple Earths into one.
Please don't tell me they got rid of the reincarnation.
No.
Okay.
Well, no, but there might be a bigger explanation for what's going on with his character.
Okay.
That might also relate to – they're like, in other words, they're saying, no, there were other Hawkmen.
Oh, no.
You have to read it.
Oh, now I'm annoyed.
I like, because I was annoyed by all the, he's reincarnated. Egypt and Thanagar?
That
and
makes perfect sense to me. I mean, Geoff Johns made it work. I'll have to read it.
It was a pretty read. No, I didn't say it was a bad read. It's okay. Just it was driving me nuts. Geoff Johns didn't start that.
Well, I'll definitely have to read the one shot, because it's sitting on my stack here.
Read it. Let me know on your next show what you thought of it after you read it. I like where it's going. You agree with my aunt. He did not like it. He's with you. He's like, I like the reincarnation.
Right. Well, where I am in comics is – And it's just like what I was saying before about, you know, the origin stories. If you've told an origin story that works, stick with it. You know, there's no reason to go back on it. Like, I mean, with what they're doing now with Kandor, okay? From what I'm understanding about this current Kandor arc with the Geoff Johns stuff, Geoff Johns is basically making it seem as if none of the stuff that we've ever seen with Kandor is happening. That he just found the Bottle City of Kandor for the first time. And if that's
have they addressed Kandor since the Burn reboot? I haven't seen Kandor since then.
Sure they have.
They have?
Yeah, when? Of course. Supergirl's 1 year later arc took place in Kandor. You had a whole arc.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And Superman's been in Kandor at least four or five times in the past couple of years. So it's definitely been around. It's just that, you know, if they're first making it seem as if he's finding Kandor for the first time now, I'm a little pissed about it. Sean Whalen says, you know, keep waiting. It's possible that there might be another explanation, but let's see, because there's
it's been in his Arctic refuge for how long? Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to the ship as of last issue and is like, Kandor?
Yeah.
No wonder he'd be confused, because it's been in his house for five fucking years.
Right.
And then he finds it here?
Yeah. That's why I'm hoping that, like Sean explained to me, that it's just another part of Kandor that I'd be okay with. But if it is just the Bottle City of Kandor, I'm calling lame on this one. I'm sorry.
Lame.
It's DC. It's lame. Anyway.
You're right. I didn't catch that, but... The Brainiac is so creepy. I love it.
Yeah, that'll give you. And I'm okay with the creepy Brainiac. I just don't need the Kandor part. That's all. You know, give me that. But all right, let's roll over to and this is one of the last things I'll touch on before we go to best comic book to screen adaptation, which we don't really need to even touch on. So probably everybody's going to say Dark Knight, but I'll mention that anyway later. But let's go best new series of 2008 up until now. This could be really anything, but I'm more looking for an ongoing. Either that or an event book. You know, it's up to you, whatever you want to say. But best ongoing of 2008 so far. And I am going to start here with Brent.
You can't give me time. I can't even think.
I'll
go.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Invincible Iron Man.
I am surprised by your statement.
Why?
I'm not. I'm being sarcastic.
Oh. No, I just it's between that and Thor. And Thor is just my favorite series. But, like, I'm just really looking forward to seeing where Invincible goes. Like, I'm just really looking forward to the next issue. And, like, it's just building really well. And I really enjoy it. So it's Invincible Iron Man for me. Whether you saw it coming or not, punk ass.
Well played, Clerks. Well played. All right, Umar.
I keep thinking Iron Fist. That's the one that's really grabbed me, and it didn't last year, but this year just. But that's not new, huh?
Yeah.
Series.
I mean, if you want to roll with it, that's fine. See, what sucks is I had in my head what my new series was, and it just got out of my head. So I'm trying to remember what the hell it was.
There's a series being put up by by Virgin Comics. I just can't think of what the name is. It's about a group of superpowered or gods or something that had to run and is hiding on Earth, and what they're running from is now hunting them down.
Okay.
It seems to have some kind of sci-fi crossover. But I haven't seen an issue in a while, and you really need to, you know, keep your issues coming to me on a regular basis for me to. Mm-hmm. I thought the guy was rich, Branson. What's up? I'm trying to think of what it's called, but it's really
actually. I don't know if you heard, but Virgin might be going under.
Ah, that's too bad.
Yeah, they mentioned that their New York office closed, so all eight staff members that were working there on a regular basis. Got fired from the looks of things. So there's no official word yet, but it looks like at least their U.S. operations are probably closing down, which sucks.
It was a good try. I was really interested. That was really interesting to see that they was just trying to put out their own line of comics. The only thing that disturbed me about it was there no superhero. Like, I don't know why people keep acting like, you know, superheroes are doing something bad to comics. Lord, help them.
All right. Well, I think. Wait, I just had it in my head. Oh yeah, okay, never mind. I remember what my favorite is. Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy, baby. It's so good. And it, I mean, going back to the Abnett and Lanning thing about them getting like Marvel's, cosmic superheroes right, they got the team aspect of Guardians of the Galaxy down perfectly. I mean, you've got the surprise appearance of Lance Astro in that. I'm not sure where that's going to go, but you know, Warlock and the rest of the team are just working so good. Star-Lord and Rocket Raccoon and the Tree Guy, who I can't think of the name of at the moment, but and Drax is in it, and oh my god, everybody that made Annihilation and Annihilation Conquest great are now on this team together, trying to work without killing each other. And there's a great sense of humor to the book, and the dossiers they do at the end, I think, work really well. Not even at the end, all the way throughout, they're doing this like interview, sort of similar to what they did in the Order a little bit, where you know they're talking about the mission that's going on. So it's sort of actually a little bit like real world esque, where they you know interject a little bit, but the sense of humor and the art and the writing has just been so great on that. I definitely need to mention Guardians of the Galaxy is my best new series. So.
Now, why you gotta make me feel old?
Oh.
The tree's name is Groot.
Groot?
And you're talking to the owner of the Where Monsters Dwell, where Groot appeared, and the giant-sized Hulk, where Hulk fought five monsters and Groot was one of them.
My name is Groot.
Yep, exactly.
That's my favorite part about Groot. Groot is Groot. My name is Groot.
But I like Rocket Raccoon. I can't believe they made a talking raccoon a highly interesting character. Wow.
Umar, they made a duck.
That's true. Okay, point taken. I stand correct.
Actually, you're sitting right now, but Brent, you got an ongoing yet?
A new ongoing?
Yeah, favorite ongoing, yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Sean, Invincible Iron Man. Because the only other new ongoing that I picked up that had a number one this year was Hulk, and that is not my favorite.
Wait, hold on. I just want to point something out.
Go ahead.
Brent just agreed with me.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a momentous occasion.
Hallelujah.
Great moments in comic timing.
Are we buying the Devil of Parker or something?
Yes, actually, because I believe hell has indeed frozen over.
Yep, my feet are cold.
Are you a Transformer?
What?
No, that's the ice cracking all over my body.
Oh, it sounded like Optimus Prime transforming.
I'm sorry, I'm not very good at it.
Or like all your bones broke simultaneously.
Oh, dear. All right, I think we're good on that. So, all right, well, let's roll over to the other only other question that I think I had. All right, best comic book related. I'm just going to say media property, okay? You can say comics, you can say movie, you could say TV, you could say video game. In fact, give me a video game and a TV.
Other.
An other, yeah. A video game, a movie, and if you have an other, you can do an other. So you can even mention like action figures if you want to. I don't fucking care. Just tell me something. All right? And Sean, you're first.
Okay. I got two you probably won't see coming. First of all, yes, Dark Knight was good, but I still think Iron Man was like great, fantastic. It was, to me, the best comic book adaptation done this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my other is, and it's just because y'all didn't get to see it, the DC Universe Online, I actually got to do the demo in San Diego. And I will say this, like, I was playing it with Travis. We were both controlling a character on the same server, mm-hmm. doing the same fight, mm-hmm. and we were fighting alongside Hal Jordan to take down Lex Luthor, and it was Ooh. Amazing. Yeah.
That sounds
awesome.
I saw
that. I just helped Green Lantern. Did you see that? He's like, I know I was there.
I saw it on the G4's coverage. That's how I live through San Diego and E3.
Right.
But it looks amazing. That looks amazing. Absolutely.
It does. It was a lot of fun. It's a little buggy. Like, my character had a super speed, and like I would run up the side of a building and then stop and still be attached to the building. And you couldn't jump off the building, like, going super speed and, like, jump really far, which was weird. But, I mean, I'm sure these are things they're going to address in the final version of the game. That said, it was a lot of fun.
Well, good, because maybe I'll actually play it.
I have to give a shout out for this. Force Unleashed. There's two reasons why I like this game. First, you get to use the Force. Second, I think this is where the movie should have gone in the first place, those things that he made before. But it's amazing.
You mean those three prequels that shall not be named?
Yeah, this is. I mean, you get to pull a TIE fighter down. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got absolute control over the Force. It's not a pussy Force either. You know, not a bunch of people pointing guns at you and a bunch of Jedi just getting shot. No, you can't kill this Jedi with an army of stormtroopers. He'll wreck you before you even get the chance to fire. And it's awesome, and the demo begins with Darth Vader giving you a mission. I'm like, you know, whenever you give me a CGI Vader, I'm there. Not that crap that was in the movies. Real Vader, real CGI, flowing capes and everything.
Nice.
Did anyone see that crap fest that was that Star Wars?
No, no one did.
Okay,
no one did. And this is coming from a guy who has friends that used to like do Star Wars related RPGs. Basically, I mean, RPs, basically. They would role-play Star Wars. And I asked them all, are you going to see the Star Wars, Clone Wars in the theaters? They all looked at me like, I have no interest whatsoever.
I saw that movie.
Really? Was it good or bad?
Okay, I don't want to be ostracized for this, but me and the girl I saw it with, and mm-hmm. she is just, I this is going to sound really crazy, mm-hmm. just as big as a geek of me, mm-hmm. as me. It was better than the prequel trilogy in and of itself. Because you want to know why?
Why?
Hayden Christensen had nothing to do with it.
All right. And I'm going to say this. It is not Hayden Christensen's fault that those movies sucked. Okay?
No, but the movies didn't help.
I'm just going to say that. He didn't help.
Okay. Because I liked them in Jumper.
You were the only person that said
Oh, you were the one, yeah.
Oh, great, great. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're that guy.
Well, you're that guy who liked Clone Wars. So I guess we're settled.
Did you even see it?
Well, wait a second. It's not a matter of not seeing it. It's coming on in a couple of months.
Thank you.
Are they going to replay it?
Yeah, dude,
and I'm in New York City.
It's the first like six episodes or three or four episodes or whatever of the TV show.
Yeah, but are they going to replay that on the TV?
Yes.
You paid money for it.
And they announced it.
Yeah.
That's why I can't believe people wouldn't pay. Maybe you live in a different area. New York tickets cost $12. No.
Hold on, wait. You just said I paid for it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hold on. No. Because what did Clone Wars originally air on? Which channel?
Cartoon Network.
Oh, do you get that over the airwaves or do you have to pay cable for that? Oh.
I live in a dorm. I don't have to pay for cable.
Shut up, Brent. I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, see, they're back to normal. They're back to normal. Everything's all back to normal.
I let the women pay for the cable. I'm a cat man.
Your point has been taken, Sean.
Jerry Hall owns you?
Oh, dear. All right.
Well, Brent, are you back in Gainesville?
Yeah.
Okay. I know where to look for you.
You don't know where to look.
Yeah, all
I
sorts
in.
Of confused last time.
All right. Well, okay. Now, my favorite movie is Dark Knight. That's no shock.
Duh.
Considering that, you know, I went on and gushed about it all damn episode last time. But my favorite non-movie property right now.
If you see that animated thing that shall not be named, I will shoot you.
No. Jesus effing Christ, dude. I liked it, but it's not the best thing I've seen. Fucking hell. No, actually, what I'm going to mention is something that's not out yet, but after seeing one fatality from it, I'm totally sold. Mortal Kombat versus DC.
No.
Hear me out. Okay? For the Joker alone, I am looking forward to this. because the one fatality I saw of the Joker putting out his fake gun, going into a laughing fit, and then taking out a real one and shooting off Sub-Zero's head, that was fucking brilliant. So if the rest of the game is like that, then I'm going to be enjoying it. So that's what I'm, I guess, one I'm looking forward to. One that already came out that I'll mention actually is not going to be a game. It's going to be a action figure series, and well, not even action figures, but I really like the Secret Invasion Hero Clicks. They've been really cool. So that's what I'm going to mention. All right, I'm done.
I'm with you on Mortal Kombat vs. DC. It looks cool.
Yeah, I wasn't looking forward to it at all until I saw that fatality, though.
Can I throw something out there that I completely forgot came out this year that I really enjoyed?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Justice League New Frontier.
Oh yeah. Duh.
I just forgot. Sorry.
Oh, that we found the one person who didn't like New Frontier?
No, I liked it.
No, he said he liked it.
I'm talking about the coffin guy.
Oh, who was the coffin guy?
Wait, was it Brent?
Me.
Because I said I liked it. That means he didn't. God, just fall in a well, Brent. Just fall in a well.
Brent, what the hell happened to your head, man?
Did you not listen to that episode of Raging Bullets where they reviewed that and they read my diatribe on how lame and crappy that animated New Frontier was?
Yeah, I sort of took it out of my mind because I think it's the stupidest thing you've ever said. What
barring what you just said.
Yeah, barring what you just said. What is bad about New Frontier?
It didn't have the spirit of the book.
It did?
I didn't think so, no.
Oh, okay, I did. I read the book before I watched it.
So did I.
Everyone who thinks it has the spirit, say aye.
Aye.
Sorry, not feeling it.
Yeah.
The eyes have it.
And I didn't even let to get away with the animation because the one thing I'm sick of is, isn't DC owned by a mega corporation?
Yes.
Doesn't Marvel have like a mega studio and has some funding behind it?
Yes.
So why are we still in 2D flat animationville?
Because it's cheap.
Because I enjoy it.
Yeah. Because he enjoys it, because I enjoy it, and because it's really fucking cheap to make in comparison to Disney stuff.
But did anyone here play Avengers, the Ultimate? Is it an Ultimate?
Ultimate
Alliance.
Yes. And I can't
Did
wait
you
for
see
two.
The cutscenes?
Yes.
I'm just talking the cutscenes.
Uh-huh.
That is what they should be doing with their superheroes.
Did you see the Iron Man shorts that were put online on Marvel's kids site that were done?
That was by the same company.
Yeah, it was done by the same company. Definitely watch those if you haven't had a chance yet, Umar. I'll see if I can find a link. Because they're done by the same guys in the same style. It's got Spider-Man, Hulk, and Iron Man in it. And it's really good.
And that's how they, in my opinion, that is what they should start producing in terms of their animation. They got to get, I mean, the flat is cute, but jeez, it feels like, what are we, still in the early 90s? Come on, guys, pick it up a little bit.
But Wolverine and the X-Men is going to be good.
I think Hulk versus is going to be good.
So do I.
Did you see the preview for that? Mm-hmm. That looks cool.
Yeah.
Why did you see the preview for that? Wait a minute now.
Yeah.
I thought it was a preview.
Yeah, Hulk versus, it's on a Marvel site if you want to take a look, but it's basically a retelling of the first fight between Wolverine and Hulk.
And then a totally new story with Hulk versus Thor.
Yeah. So that should be thou art's goodeth. But
yeah, because Hulk's going to get his ass handed to him.
Damn right.
Y'all wish.
Oh, man. But and Wolverine and the X-Men, I think, is going to look, actually, from all the trailers I've seen, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. So hopefully it will be, even though it's on Nickelodeon.
So was Wendigo.
Yeah, you keep asking.
This was like the Peter David fight.
You keep asking that question, man. All right.
You know, there are two fights here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the original introduction of Wolverine, mm-hmm, and to Peter David.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the original.
I think they're going to do both, actually. This is going to be, like, through the ages.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Well, Brent, what are you going for movie and non-movie property?
I'm going to go for Dark Knight and non-movie. I'm going to go for the Sinestro Core War Sinestro action figure. From DC Direct, not the Mattel one.
Yes. Yes, I kind of figured as much. Because one is nice and the other one is okay, but not awesome.
Yes. The Ethan Van Sciver looking one is awesome.
Yes.
And the Green Lantern as Batman is cool too, but I have to say the Sinestro figure from that line is the best figure out there.
Agreed. Although the Batman one's pretty hot.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from that line, I think the Sinestro is good, followed by Batman, followed by Cyborg Superman.
Okay. Which Cyborg Superman is that? In his Sinestro core?
In his Sinestro uniform, yeah.
Okay, good.
I picked him up, too. I didn't get the Star Sapphire because I didn't have any inclination to get it.
Yeah. All right. Umar.
Holy shit! Sorry.
Hi.
I just watched the Hulk vs. Wolverine trailer.
Nice, right?
Not bad.
You know what? If I can get not what bad was, out of you, then I guess I succeeded.
That was pretty good. Okay. Okay, listen. Dark Knight, best movie, but best comic book movie, Iron Man. Hands down. Mm-hmm. Dark Knight already did Batman Begins, so I expected it to elevate itself, and I'm glad I got exactly what I expected. I got more than I was expecting. Great. But in terms of taking a property that once upon a time most of America didn't know, then after one day, I don't have to explain to my ex-wife or my girlfriend or anybody who Iron Man is anymore. Hell, I could slap the old book down and they'd be perfectly comfortable with it. We should praise that movie for that. Just that one thing. Iron Man is now on everybody's mind. And that's why Tropic Thunder made money, because of Iron Man.
Yes. Yep. Yes. That I'll agree
and,
with.
And Tom Cruise.
Well, you know, if you didn't tell people Tom Cruise was in it, then they wouldn't have known.
It's true.
Because Tom Cruise is sneaky. It's sneaky. A little sneaky.
It's good sneaky, though.
Yes, definitely.
And I'll still say, leave Tom Cruise alone! I don't know why they... Okay, I'm not getting into that, but still. All but because right. It's just... And like I said, I'm not even saying it was better than Dark Knight, but in terms of comics to film, everything you wanted, before Iron Man, it was Batman Begins. After Iron Man, it was totally Iron Man, because I'm like, wow, that is how you do it.
And Incredible Hulk was pretty damn good, too.
Oh, yes. But it also, Hulk is already an icon in the American public. I'm talking about this thing. You know, it just gives me hope for Marvel's thing. I love the Incredible Hulk. Don't get me wrong. It's my hero. But like I said, I walked away from Iron Man and said, if they could make every comic book movie like that, we would be in heaven.
Yeah, I agree. What non-movie property?
I've been collecting the Grendel figures. For some reason, I've been collecting the anything that's Grendel because of that miniseries. And I just love Grendel.
Hmm. Okay. Are they pretty?
So I recently purchased the action figure that was put out in the 90s with the original Hunter Rose. Mm-hmm. I don't know the companies. And I even found that McFarlane has a Grendel figure. I didn't know he got the license to do that.
Oh, wow. See, that I didn't even know.
Yeah. I was a little shocked, too. I didn't see, you know, every time, you know, I see you with McFarlane, you see spawns everywhere. But mm-hmm. I didn't know he did a Grendel, and it was pretty good. A little that 90s, everybody had to have tentacles or something coming off them or a robot arm or something. It's totally a 90s figure. You could just tell.
And blue hair. You got to have blue hair.
And no pupils.
Yeah. and muscles so big that if you were to have them in real life, you would be lopsided and fall to the ground.
Are we talking about Rob Liefeld?
No, we're talking about... No, Liefeld was not the only one. Medina was doing... Everybody was doing them muscles on muscles, people. You go look at some of them Supermans for the night. You're like, holy shit, how did he fly with these things?
Well, you remember that short time in the 90s where Superman went through this, like, uber power stage where he had, like, almost like a caveman build? Where all of his muscles were like substantially larger, and his legs were substantially larger, and his head was substantially larger.
Oh yeah, I remember. And the hair. Oh my goodness, the rock star hair.
Ugh. Oh, the mullet, the super.
What
mullet.
What were they thinking?
Super mullet, baby. Come on. Don't knock the mullet.
It's like I love listening to Image talk. Like, y'all have a lot to say about yourselves back then, considering you used to have comic books with splash pages that made no sense. Supreme brushes his teeth. Splash page. What the hell? You know? Oh, look, he's working at the bathroom. Double splash page. Let's make it. You know? Let's make it flush. So they had to turn the comic book over to look at it. You know? What the hell?
In this very special issue of Wildcats, Wildcats go to the drive-in.
You know. Now, when they did it with Gen 13, the first one, and what is it, Fairchild went from Geek to Fairchild, that was a good splash page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But somehow I felt dirty for after that. I was like, I shouldn't be liking the comic book for this.
All right, let me just get the thing you're looking forward to the most for the rest of the year. And, you know, this one I am actually going to start with Brent with. And he's going to have an answer, okay? Because I'm not going to anybody else first. I'm going to Brent first. So, Brent, I'm going to keep on talking for a little bit so you can actually think of something to say, but then I'm going to stop talking. Then when I'm done talking, all right, go ahead.
Finding out what the hell Final Crisis is about.
Wow.
Brett wins.
Yeah.
It's a Seinfeld of events. What's it about? Nothing!
Umar, go.
What am I looking forward to by the end of this year? Blackest Night.
Nice.
Isn't that supposed to be starting for the end of this year? Oh, and the new Marvels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's the very end of 08, I think. I believe, yeah. That's also written by Buziak, right?
I believe so. And they got another. I looked up the artist. I like what I saw with his stuff online. So, like I said, I don't keep ahead. I don't got a head for these artists and writers and everything like that. Well, you know, so back then, all I knew was John Byrne. Isn't that John Byrne? No, that's Jim Starlin, stupid. Yeah.
Well, this thing's been in the works for like 7 years, so it better be good.
Good. That means it'll take, what, only 4 years to come out? Hell, I got time.
Don't worry. It's not a Liefeld book.
Who wrote it?
Buziak.
He did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, Buziak. You know, Kurt Buziak. That guy who writes.
Because I remember picking up Marvels for the first time, and I just thought it was the most amazing thing I've ever saw. Taking those, especially since I remember the artwork that Ross was redoing in his own way. Mm-hmm. I remember those, you know, the things that were just innocuous that happened. Giant Man crossing over that. That was an indelible image way back in the day, but he made it look amazing and real.
Yeah, no, I agree. But
that's mine.
Cool, Sean.
Secret Invasion, like seeing where it goes. Like I'm just, I don't know. Like I've been following it. I'm really excited. I missed, you know, Nick Fury. Like his presence, his lack of presence in the Marvel Universe was definitely felt. And I don't know. I'm really excited to see where this is going. Like I don't have anything really for this year. Like I've got like a couple of things for next year. I'm completely stoked about. But like all of my big events already happened. Iron Man, the movie, you know, all that stuff. I'm spent. I don't know if I've got. I mean, like if anything big happens this year, I'm just gonna fall over. I'm just gonna keel over. I don't know what to do.
Note to self: have something big happen this year. I want to see that.
Yeah, that's going to completely ruin your chances of getting me to New York.
So
I'm just going to let you know.
Damn
yeah.
It. Foiled.
I mean, like, other than Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, like, I have not much really looking forward to. I'm just going to kind of let it come to me.
Hey, speaking of Deadpool, how about looking forward to Deadpool?
That's true. Damn it. Forgot about that. Looking forward to Deadpool.
There you go. Finally read the last 6 issues of Cable Deadpool.
Are you serious? Yeah. Those were fantastic.
No, I know. They were great. I mean, I had them sitting there waiting to be read for the longest time. And then I started with the Captain America Bucky issue, and then I rolled out until
Which
the end.
Which was hilarious. Oh, my God. Bob is my favorite sidekick of all time.
Bob the Hydra agent, if he's not in the new series, I'm going to cry. Because he needs love.
Agree.
He needs love.
I have to say, I hate Deadpool. I hated him. He's all part of that stupid Weapon X thing from the 90s. Nothing can kill him. Nothing can hurt him. I just can't stand undefeatable. It drives me nuts.
Oh, you grumpy old man.
You can behead the guy. And that Deadpool was like Venom, a good drawing they never really had a story for, and he got lucky later on.
Oh, come on, man. Have you read any of his recent stuff?
I got a whole bunch of his past stuff. That last series he had that was everyone thought was funny, I was like, yeah, okay, it was all right.
Did you read the Gail Simone Deadpool?
I don't know. I stopped at a point. I just couldn't take it anymore.
All right.
My partner, like, I don't like him. I was like, kill him. Cut his head off. Do something. Please stop printing Deadpool. But, you know, people like him, so what are you going to do?
Gail Simone got me into Deadpool. I love him too, Sean, so don't worry. You're not alone here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's hilarious.
Ah, man. Yeah. And what I'm looking forward to the most, considering that you mentioned Secret Invasion already, so I'm not going to mention that, but what I'm looking forward to the most is Earth 2 JSA versus Earth 1 JSA, or New Earth JSA. In the battle of the JSAs, the culmination of that storyline, I think, is going to be huge. So just having
a cage match,
I hope so. No holds barred, maybe. get Bruno Sammartino and a couple of the other guys in there with them. Why not? But Justice Society Justice Society Infinity versus Justice Society of America is going to be a huge, 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 huge battle. So I cannot wait for that. So I'm going to say that. All right, and before we go, just to quickly mention the forums here. Tech Jedi says his best miniseries is Secret Invasion. The biggest flop is Final Crisis. The best one-shot, haven't bought any except Final Crisis Requiem. Guess that has to be it. Favorite ongoing, New Avengers. Favorite comic book-related movie, Dark Frickin' Night. Not just Dark Knight, Dark Frickin' Night. And what you're looking
forward...
I
didn't see that.
Dark Frickin' Night? Oh, yeah. No, that was in theaters the same time as Dark Knight.
That wasn't the porn version?
That must have been in, like, a different theater.
Yeah, that was the porn version. Dark fucking night.
I saw IMAX Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah. I finally saw the IMAX. I've seen it three times in regular theaters.
Ian, did you see the IMAX? Like you said, you're going to?
I haven't seen the IMAX yet. I have not had it.
Oh, man, it's been sold out for so long in this damn city. It took forever for it to open up a spot in that damn theater.
I know.
Opening weekend in Tampa.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Opening weekend in Orlando.
Ha ha. Opening.
I'm just going to reiterate the falling in a well statement.
opening weekend in Taiwan. Ha! Yeah. And what? Yeah.
Liar.
Yeah, I know.
Black market copy from Taiwan. Is that the same thing?
Yes. And I just have like four TVs stacked on top of each other, and that I call that an IMAX. And what you're looking forward to the most for the end of the year, still catching up on all I've missed the last few years, so I'm looking forward to Captain America continuing to be consistently entertaining, Invincible Iron Man really ramping up, Red Hulk starting to go somewhere, and Captain America White, which I am also looking forward to. I haven't read issue zero yet, but I need to. And Ziggo says, best new show, Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles. I think 2008 should just be the Summer of Heroes because I highly enjoyed Iron Man, Hulk, Hellboy 2, and Dark Knight. So there you goes for the forum.
Wait. What up? Wait, I forgot one that I meant to say. The thing I'm looking forward to? Madame Mirage.
Oh, Paul that Dini. Well, you reading them floppy? Are you waiting for the trade? Oh, no, that's Xanadu. Sorry, that's Xanadu. Mix them up.
Yeah. No. Paul Dini, Kenneth Rockefeller. It looks like it's fantastic.
This is an indie title, or?
I think so. I forget who does
it. Put out by Top Cow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
So,
well, he's also got a Zatanna Monthly coming out soon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Cool. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They announced that at one of the cons. I remember that they mentioned that Dini's going to do a Zatanna. So that should be sweet.
Well, I heard about it at the big Comic Con, they gave out like a little preview issue, and this is like, if this doesn't blow up, I'm gonna be severely disappointed. So it's all about this lady that kills superpowered bad guys because there are no heroes.
Whoa, that sounds like fun, man.
Yeah, and she looks like a, like, instead of red, like a white-dressed version of Carmen Sandiego, except sexy. Sexy as hell.
You know, funny you should mention Carmen Sandiego, because a couple of weeks ago, I got a friend who, came into the country when he was in, like, junior high school or something like that, and he actually was on Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and he has the VHS tape of him on Carmen Sandiego. We sat down and watched it. And I was just like, I was reminiscing on the old days, man. Because I went to a taping once because someone at my school also managed to get on Carmen Sandiego, and that was a lot of fun, man. I missed that, man.
You know, Travis and I are like trying to see who owns the license to that because we want to do something with it.
Oh, yeah? Huh. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, who knows? It could be up in the air. Well, what I would do is I would try and contact the guys who did the original video games and, you know, see where it lies from there. Yeah,
yeah. Because we have an idea for a comic book that would definitely We like Carmen Sandiego. That shit was awesome.
Well, worst comes to worst, you'll have to do Where in the Universe is San Diego Carmen?
Yeah. So,
all right. I think that's pretty much all she wrote here. Considering we've been talking for the last 3 hours.
Yes.
How do we not have a 3-hour show when Sean and Umar are on?
I was quiet for most of the show.
Yeah, I know. But, Umar never stops talking, but I like him that way.
I told you if we had Umar on, it'd be a long show. I told you. I was like, yes, it's going to be a long show.
But in a good way, in a most certainly good
way. I was excited.
Yeah. No, he was looking forward to it.
Short podcast for pussies.
I agree.
All right, yeah, that's it. That's it. You need to make a spinoff show, dude. Short podcasts are for pussies. Have it be 7 hours long.
Kidding me? I save Raging Bullets about 7 episodes just listening to them back to back.
They're 4 hours long now. They're pumping out 4 hour long episodes every week. I don't know how they're doing that.
I miss when they used to do the A's, B's, C's.
Welcome to episode 57Q.
I always had this impression that one day they would get so far behind themselves that they would put one out in December, but they'd be talking about comics that came out in last January.
Well, actually, no, I'm still waiting for them to eventually talk Smallville and then put Brent's comments on Smallville on. Brent recorded the BK's Bullets on Smallville for last premiere for Smallville. It still is yet to air on Raging Bullets.
And you know what? It's going to really be dated because I'm like, okay, well, I did the first BK's Bullets for the first season of for the season finale or whatever, Smallville or season premiere of the previous season, even season 6 or something. And then I did them after that. So this is like beginning of season 7 and it's going to be 2 years and it's going to be like, this has been doing it for 1 year.
Well, you really didn't do that many after that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, how many?
I have like a good 10.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. Hey, Steve. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Were you
the
one constantly saying how much you hated it?
Hated what?
I just remember listening. I listened to a lot of podcasts. I just remember during this last season of Smallville, there was someone kept reviewing it. They kept going, it was garbage. I hate it. And then finally I had the post, well, why do you keep watching it?
No.
Here's the clue. Turn away from it.
No. Wasn't me.
All right, so before we wrap it up, let me get my usual plugs in here for all the people that are on. So, Umar, what's up coming on your little shebang you called the Fixer's Hideout?
Oh, well, same old. We're just doing topics. We're going to probably do Killer Women. I decided I want to talk about chicks that can break you in half and look good doing it.
Gee, I wonder if Buffy is going to be discussed.
Oh, well, she's one of them, but, you know, there's a nice group now. You know, there's the chick from Farscape, Erin Sung. You know,
you've got
a lot of them.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I mean, on Friday, Buffy's got a crowd now, so it's no longer that way. There's Batgirl, who I like.
Yeah, Samantha.
You know,
Carter.
I'm looking forward to a good Batgirl Deathstroke fight, and I really hope somebody finally kicks his ass because I really hate that guy. I mean, hate in a villain sort of way, not as a character.
Yeah, yeah. But no, you got to talk about Samantha Carter from SG-1 and perhaps put in some Fallen Angel. You read Fallen Angel? About Peter David's Fallen
Angel? Oh, yes, absolutely. That's one of my favorite books.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, cause
of course, there's. I should do Pixies that kick ass, but, you know, just. but what's her name? Was Sarah Connor, my favorite Terminator?
Yeah, Cameron.
Cameron, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not just Buffy anymore.
And you got a side project, too, don't you?
Oh, well, I podcast with Lori, who's Tomorrow on the forums. We do podcasting after dark. We just come together and rant about shit.
The best kind of podcasting right there, man.
Absolutely. But what's a podcast for if you can't, you know, rant about shit?
Exactly. All right. And give the website out there to all those friendly people.
It's www.thefixer.com.
Excellent. All right, Brent, you got any BK's bullets you want to roll out or anything?
Actually, I just sent one off to Sean.
I just had a heart attack.
I heard.
Yeah, what's it on?
Batman Vampire and Batman City of Crime.
Ah, all Batman, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. You got any you want to roll out for our show?
I'm working on it.
Okay, good. Excellent. And RagingBullets.com for all that shebang. And you'll be the one who's editing and putting out the review corner episode once we do that. So you got a nice plate up ahead of you. And don't forget about the review corner for that matter, everybody out there. And one more time, Comic Timing is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at HeroesCorner.com. Whole bunch of great specials this month over at Heroes Corner, most specifically the Mercury and the Murd special. So one more time, we've got ourselves the uber awesome discount, $2.59 for 48 pages of Mercury and the Murd PKD Media, and you're going to be receiving a free Katie Cook sketch print of Mercury and the Murd, katiecandraw.com, and you'll also receive for free Dark Reign, New Nation #1, retail value of $3.99 from Marvel Comics, along with your purchase of Mercury and the Mertz. Definitely go ahead and do that. And the Comic Timing picks this month, we've got Secret Invasion Dark Reign, which is different than the other Dark Reign, but still as fun, is 75 cents on Heroes Corner, 75% off of the retail price of $2.99. Green Arrow Black Canary number 15, 50% off, brand new writer on Green Arrow Black Canary. This one is $1.50, retail of $2.99. And Akihabara at Deep, Volume 1, 50% off of the retail price of $11.99, only $6 on HeroesCorner.com. So if you want to follow us on our Review Corner episodes, those are the books you got to do. And definitely make sure to pick up Mercury and the Murd at HeroesCorner.com. Best customer service around. HeroesCorner.com. And Sean, last but certainly not least, tell the people one more time about that thing you do.
I'm the writer for Codename Power, codenamepower.com. Fun little book. Violent Sentai Power Rangers for people that don't know what that means, you know. But, we're going to be in JannyCon in November. So other than that, not so much news. So
where is this JannyCon?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, okay.
So
hence the Janny.
Yep, it's an anime convention. We do a lot. Unfortunately, because of the fan base, we have to do a lot of anime conventions. Mm-hmm. We're actually planning on doing. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say before you even mention that, do me a favor then, and get your ass up to either Anime Next or Anime Boston next year, and we can hang.
Well, check this out.
Uh-huh.
We are doing 12 conventions in 12 months next year.
Whoa.
Unfortunately, the only two that we're going out of area for are Chicago and San Diego. Okay. Because our marketing strategy, unfortunately, does not include any more big trips until 2010.
Okay.
So
no
New York? Just going to have to wait for you to come back for MegaCon.
Oh, so no New York at all? Oh, that's a shame.
Not yet. We're working on it. We want to go. We want to go so bad. You believe it or not, New York Comic Con is the one we want to add next.
Okay.
Like, that is our next big convention to our list.
All right,
so
that's fine. Well, hopefully by 2010 it won't be in the middle of fucking February.
That'd be nice.
Ugh.
Well, actually, that's good for us because that's away from all the other ones. But, yeah. You know, hey, whatever.
Yeah, that's good for you, but make sure to bring your parka. Jesus. I mean, that's why I like the fact that it was in the middle of April or whatever, you know, this past year, because we didn't have to freeze our asses off. But now it's back in February, so we'll have to be braving the freezing cold winds and 20-degree weather again.
And we will.
Oh, yes, and we'll enjoy it.
Fanboys.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to be inside most of the time anyway, and hopefully at Podcast Alley again. And possibly even at Podcast Alley with Umar. You know, who knows?
Hey, listen, I've been in this city all my life, but last year when it was warmer weather, that's when I discovered that the 34th Street freaking bus went down there. I walked a year before last.
Dude, so did I, because it never showed. I took it from the subway to the Javits, but on the way back, we walked every single time because it never showed. Yeah.
You just have to come to MegaCon, man. You are coming to MegaCon, aren't you?
Almost certainly, unless major changes occur. Because as long as we've got at least three people going, then I'm fine. And as of now, we've got two, possibly three people going, because we got to split the cost somehow. But the only difference is I'll probably be taking a flight alone for the first time in my life, which will be interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I just take my DS.
Yeah, there you go. Well, come on, dude.
Gotta grow up sometime, Ian.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Pally boy. But, no, dude, I'm going to have my laptop with me. It's got like 6-hour charge. So I'll just watch whatever the fuck I want.
There you go.
Yeah, all right. But anyway, I think we're pretty much done at this point. So the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. And we've also got forums over at the Heroes Corner website. So check out heroescorner.com and go to their forum section if you want to post there as well. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please dig us on dig.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters over at comicbooknoise.com/league. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. They are certainly graciously appreciated as they get the word out. So definitely want to thank Umar and Sean for being on the episode. guys make it a hell of a lot of fun. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Alrighty, and thanks for Brent for being awake, and I'm glad to have you back in the dorms. You are.
Woohoo.
And as always, there's always time for comics. You got any others for him, Brett?
Nope.
No.
Dude, are you like in the middle of something else right now? I'm just very curious because you're sort of far from the mic, and I have a feeling you're doing something else at the same time as talking to us.
Move the mic so I wouldn't hear the breathing sound.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
I'm trying to help the listeners out.
Ah.
Okay. Mouth breathers.
No, I'm a nose breather. It's still fucking loud. You can hear it.
Shit.
You can listen to the last couple episodes. You can hear it.
Yeah.
And I'm partially deaf. That's why I'm so loud.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but you're going to talk, and then you're going to tell me what your number one thing is for the rest of the year. You get that? All right, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Brent, you're up.
He's not even here. Yo. Oops, I had it muted. I was talking.
Dude,
what the fuck is he saying?
Thank you very much. Thank you very, 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 very much for giving me at least one thing to put in the back of the show. You're the man. You're the man.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Man. And Sean is just lost.
Oh, no, he's not. Come on, man. There's always one member of a forum that is like the retarded monkey.
He hasn't been around lately.
Yeah. Did you just call me a fucking retarded monkey?
No! No!
If you want to be, sure.
Jeez. No.
No, Brent. I'm just checking.
No, I was saying that there's always a member of the forums that's a retarded monkey. I wasn't talking about you, dude. Come on. You're just a monkey.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
All right. There you go. Cool. That's better. All right.
I'm the ape that pounds on the keyboard.
Hook, 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 hook. And then he turns into a comic. All right, here we go, all right.
Solid podcast.
I would say so. That's like two podcasts for some podcasts. Not for us. Not for us. We brave it. Because our parents are dead.
I was going to say it, damn it.
We can do it, fucker.